about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I've got to apologize to everybody. When we got back to the station and started editing this story and I started looking at the tapes for the first time, I realized that during most of the interview with Mr. Zetlian, I'm eating. I even talk with my mouth full some of the time. But the baklava was tasty.
Honestly, I wish I was more sober right now.
And now,
I have something I need to get off my chest. I'm not sure you're gonna like it.
Oh. Whoa. Wow.
I told you.
Our feature presentation.
You're the strangest audio.
That is from a new show, Lisa, that you will like.
Yes.
That is called Togetherness.
Oh, I've recorded it. I have not yet watched it, but I'm very excited about
it. What network?
One of those. You know.
Okay. What network is it on? It might be HBO. I think it's HBO.
HBO, okay. All right.
And it's from the Duplass brothers. You know, Mark Duplass and his brother Jay.
Sure.
Excellent work in all sorts of movies and TV shows.
Amanda Peet's in it.
Amanda Peet is in it,
big
yeah.
Big fan of hers.
It's really good. It's really
awesome.
Funny. So, anyway, it just debuted this past weekend. So, it's not too late for you to catch up there, Kevin, because I know you're looking for all sorts of new shows.
I do need new shows, yeah. Just have nothing but time.
You got all that MasterChef Junior to get through.
Oh, my God.
I love MasterChef Junior.
Don't get me started on cooking shows of any kind.
Look, I am 100% with Kevin on it. It sounds like the worst show ever. I don't know anyone who watches it who doesn't rave about how great it is, though.
Yeah, I caught up over the holidays because I had heard about it, and I only watched the two final episodes, but it blew me away. These kids were unbelievable.
Did they cook like crazy? Did they just go nuts with the cooking?
They did. They cooked like insane people.
And was the audience going nuts?
Yes, I was going nuts.
Yeah.
You're going to do what with what?
Yeah. That's what I was saying, but I was watching something else.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning. It is the 15th of January. Lisa, please do not go away anymore.
Well, I'll do my best.
Okay. I like it when you're out, is
Thank
what I'm
you.
Saying.
I appreciate that.
Because then it's just boys.
Yes, and that's way too many boys.
It's also people who are not as tolerant of his nonsense.
How dare
oh,
you?
Oh, I
yeah.
see. The room turns hard.
Yeah, a little harder. Yeah.
I gotcha.
Lisa is the only one who's ever on my side on anything.
She's not on your side. She just says it because she's nice.
I do have a tale of woe to get us started here on this Thursday morning, and I'm just warning you that when you see somebody going through what this man is going through, it's gonna break some hearts. It's gonna be tough. This could be a story. It's gonna be tough for you to get out of your mind. I'm worried that you'll just break down at lunch today and just cry when you hear about what is going on with this poor guy.
All right.
His name is Hiroshi Hariki. He is very, very, very wealthy. He is from Hong Kong, but he recently bought a home in Malibu. Now, I don't know a lot about Malibu, but I do know that they have a lot of restrictions in a lot of places along the water with how big your house can be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And in Malibu, apparently, mansions are limited to 11,172 square feet or smaller. You're not allowed to have a house that's bigger than that in Malibu.
Why?
Okay. I don't know. The only thing I can guess, and it's not in this LAist.com article, but the only thing I can guess is, you know, they try to keep a real close eye on anything that's built close to the water.
That's barely enough room to even move around.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Pretty much only have a cot.
You know, they're always worried about, you know, any kind of damage, any kind of shifting done to the shoreline. So
right.
I think that may be why they pay particularly close attention to places like Malibu. Well, anyway, he bought the place back in 2007. He was told it was 15,000 square feet. So he thought, wow, this is grandfathered in, man. This is built in before they put those restrictions in. This has got to be one of the biggest places in Malibu. I love this. He paid $12.25 million in cash for it, by the way.
Cash.
All right. He lived there for 2 years. In 2009, he sought to increase the size of his estate by adding a sunroom. That's what led to a county planning commissioner coming out to survey the home and told the homeowner, to his horror, that the house was only 10,000 square feet. He was told it was 15,000 square feet. He bought it. He lived there. He loved it. Then he was told it was 10,000 square feet. Then he said,
seems like some fraud there someplace.
It has become a bad dream. It has broken my heart and broken my dream about the American people.
You have a 10,000 square foot house on the beach.
And it was fine for you.
That you paid cash for and you love.
Before, I thought everything here is beautiful and perfect. So now he is suing. Who's he suing here? He's in a legal battle against the people that he bought the house from over the size discrepancy.
Rightly so.
Oh, f*** you.
He is suing for $5 million because of the pain and suffering that he has endured all these years living in a 10,000-square-foot home in Malibu.
All the pain and suffering that he's endured while loving it.
The argument from the realtor, by the way, is that the listings often include disclaimers about the accuracy of their measurements, and they suggest buyers get their own measurements done. They said in a court filing that they didn't make up the 15,000 square foot estimate. It had come from a letter from the architect of the mansion. So they just passed along what they were told. And because he bought the home cash, he did not get his own surveyor out there to tell him what's up with the house. So an interesting case here. I don't think the guy's going to get a dime out of it. I think he saw the house, liked the house, bought the house, loved the house. And now they come and there's nothing wrong with the house. It's not like they came to him and said, oh, the foundation is faulty. They're just telling him it's smaller than you thought it was.
Right.
So I don't know. What do you think, Kevin? You be the judge.
Look, it's hard to feel sorry for people in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Probably should have done more research before he bought it, mm-hmm. is what I think.
You give him anything, he's suing for $5 million.
Probably not.
Yeah, I think probably not.
But,
too.
You know, he probably did pay that price based on the square footage.
Could be.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. As it turns out, one final note. As it turns out, the square footage discrepancy is fairly common in Malibu because they use total development square footage, oftentimes including the square footage of guest houses, garages, and other spaces not typically included by real estate agents as living spaces. So, in other words, they would include the size of your barbecue area outside as part of the square footage of the house.
Oh,
that's weird. So, do they do that anywhere else?
It sounds a little dodgy to me.
Yeah.
It sounds like maybe they need to tighten up those restrictions. But anyway, when you're going about your day-to-day, when you're on your way to your second minimum wage job, I want you to think for just a minute about this poor man who's having to live in only a 10,000-square-foot house. Hiroki, be strong, my friend. Be strong.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amito, shall we?
Real quick, what will fans take away from this, do you think?
Oscar nominations.
Yeah,
yes,
going on right now.
Coming out this morning. Ralph will have a full recap for you.
Got the red hot makeup and hairstyling category being unveiled right now.
All right. Internet Roundup, a brand new one for you today.
Uh-huh.
We're going to talk to Glenn Whipp, speaking of the Oscars from the LA Times, about the nominations.
All right.
We have Conor McGregor, who is he's an awesome UFC talker. I haven't actually seen him fight, but man, can he talk.
Yeah, well, that's half the battle, right?
I don't think we watch a lot of, what is he, featherweight or light featherweight? I think he's featherweight, right?
I don't know.
I don't think we watch a lot of his weight class, but yeah, he is very entertaining. You know, he's not coming to take part, Kevin. He's coming to take it all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's his deal. He's full-blooded Irish, and he crazy.
He definitely crazy. He's very entertaining, though.
We also have Jim Rome talking about sports today. Comedian Ari Shaffir. Mm-hmm. On the program today, talking about his Comedy Central special, and Dr. Drew talks about the Disneyland measles adventure ride.
Oh, wow. They're playing Coachella, right?
They're playing Coachella, yeah. So we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin Amin Show at 5:54. What was that?
Oh, my God.
Chair.
What just happened with the chair?
I tried to raise the chair, and it just stripped the gear.
It exploded.
I had no idea.
Well, once Beer Mug sits on a chair once, it's pretty much ruined.
It is sat on.
Exactly. Yeah. It is sat on good, man. Hey, how about Ralph Garman here on a very special day in Hollywood? What's going on, man?
Look, there's so many Oscar nominations. So many.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, can we have some time after the Showbiz Beat? We'll just take a big hunk of time and just go through them after the 6 o'clock hour. Not do them right here, because I don't want to... give people half a story here. So
sure.
Let's do some other showbiz news here. We'll hold on to the Oscar nominations, and then we'll just tackle them all after the top of the hour. What do you say?
Perfect.
All right. Let's get to some other stories while we're talking about show business news. Like, Love is in the Air. Kevin, I'm so sorry. So very sorry.
Love is in the Air.
I really thought you were going to be the one for Maggie Q.
Yeah.
Kevin called next on that.
I did call next. Does it not work that way?
It does not apparently work that way.
Oh, well, why didn't somebody tell me?
Apparently next is Dylan McDermott, her co-star of Stalker.
Wah, wah, wah.
What does he have that I don't?
All right, never mind. All right, let's do that in the 605. Let's do a list of what Dylan McDermott has that you don't after the top of the hour. We'll use our time there. I know you do.
Yeah. Shouldn't she be a little bit concerned that he's a little stalkery? I don't know if you've paid attention to what's going on with Dylan McDermott, man, but he is doing a lot of bad things to women that he's dated previously.
Let's move on.
Yes, yes.
It's on.
He's not a stalker in that show, is he?
Oh, he's not? I haven't seen it.
He hunts down stalkers.
Why would you make that joke stalker then? Because I thought it was likely that he was the stalker.
No, he and her.
He's on Team Q.
Yeah, they fight against people who are being stalked.
Oh, then he's an excellent choice for her. They should be very happy together. I'm glad for them. I like that you just take a stab in the dark, not knowing anything about the show.
And do a four-minute chunk of something that's wrong.
Or 10 seconds.
He's 53. She's 35.
Right on.
Maggie showed off a brand new ring on that finger on Sunday at the Golden Globe after parties, and everyone's very happy, except maybe for Dylan McDermott's first wife of 13 years, with whom he has two children.
Yeah, and Kevin.
And Kevin. Nikki Reed of the Twilight films. She is set to wed Ian Somerhalder of the Vampire Diaries. Apparently these vampire people have to stay together. It's a rule. He popped the question over the holidays, and apparently they are going to be very happy. She's just divorced from Paul McDonald, the guy from American Idol. That was finalized just a few weeks ago, so... They trade them in, they trade them out over there in Hollywood, don't they?
They sure
right
do.
Over there in Hollywood,
wherever
right over
it is,
there,
yeah.
Over there,
yeah.
Where they all do all the trading, all the horse trading with their spouses and whatnot. Taylor Swift is evil.
Yes, still.
On every count. You can add contributing to the delinquency of a minor to that charge. Apparently at the Golden Globes after party, Taylor Swift was there with Lorde, and she kept giving her rum and cokes. Since Lorde is not, of course, old enough to order her own at the age of 18, Taylor Swift, 25, was just feeding her alcohol, apparently.
That does make her the devil.
It does.
That's the worst thing I've ever
heard. I got
heard
thrown
about.
Over a police car
anybody,
for it.
Just because it would help a minor.
Yeah.
Drink.
That's right.
Should be thrown in jail.
So I think...
Ralph Garman.
I think Taylor Swift should be thrown over a police car and handcuffed.
That happened.
And with those minute bowl arms, you're going to need several pairs of handcuffs. Because she'll slip right out for a moment. She's like pipe cleaner arms. Another day, another development in the Bill Cosby mess. Looks like one of the women who claimed Bill both drugged and sexually abused her is going to sue. Her name is Chloe Goines. She says Bill did both of those things during an event at the Playboy Mansion back in 2008. She met with detectives from LAPD on Tuesday. And is apparently going forward with a lawsuit. Meanwhile, Ticketmaster has announced they're offering refunds for Bill Cosby's upcoming shows this weekend in Denver, Colorado.
Wow.
There's reportedly been about 3,000 tickets for the performances, which have been sold, and promoters say the show will go on despite protests. However, Ticketmaster said if you don't want to go now because of what has developed, they will refund your money. Another one of Cosby's upcoming shows in Worcester, Mass., has been canceled after promoters came to an agreement, they're saying, with Cosby's agent. I guess that means they paid him off to go away. About 1,000 tickets have been sold for that performance, so.
He's, in the long term, though, he's done, right?
I mean, gotta think so.
This is just stuff that was on the books, maybe?
Yeah, this stuff was pre-packaged before these allegations came out, so he's just going through these dates. And speaking of done... Rosie Perez is leaving The View. Well, that didn't take long. She originally was going to take off just the month of January in order to rehearse a Broadway play that she's appearing in, but she apparently has decided not to return to the show.
I have not, you know, I used to watch The View.
Sure.
Yeah. I have not checked it out one time since they wholesale changed the cast. I know. I think maybe the two Rosies is what's going to scare me off of it.
Well, now there's just one Rosie.
That's right, just one Rosie. They still have a Whoopi, though, don't they?
They got
I think
a they
do. You don't need a Rosie and a Whoopi.
No, you sure don't.
No. As I mentioned, the Oscar nominations were announced this morning. We have a complete list. We'll burn through them after the top of the hour, after
Dr.
Business News. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Skrillex is 27 years old today. Alexander Gustafsson is 28. He was just here.
He was just, here. The Mauler.
He was just here. He's Mr. Beautiful, isn't he?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope.
Pitbull is 34.
Oh.
Come on, you love Pitbull.
Hate that dude.
Dolly.
Hate that dude. How do they keep giving
Mr. Worldwide?
I hate him. How do they keep giving him TV shows? How do they keep letting him host television?
Because he is endlessly charming and skilled. And 34 years old today. And actress Regina King celebrates her 44th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
K-Rock's World Tour 2015 Destination Number 1 is on the air every day at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. That's when you get to qualify for your chance to win a pair of passes to this year's Coachella, plus to see any band playing Coachella anywhere in the world.
Woo!
I do think this is one of the greatest prizes we've ever given
That's
away.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, think about that. You can almost pick your country if you pick the right band.
Easy.
Anyway, you can pick the band. You can pick the city. It's all happening at 9 o'clock this morning, as I mentioned, and then throughout the day. Get your details at krock.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, it's Oscar, Oscar, Oscar.
This is where we find out if the months of campaigning and the hundreds of thousands of dollars of ads that have been taken out in the various trades and the TV interviews and everything finally paid off for an Oscar nomination.
Yes, they were announced this morning. And I wanted to spend a little more time than usual with these because there's a ton of them to get through. So let's start off with the category that everyone is interested in, Best Live Action Short Film.
I
want to let you know that Boogaloo and Graham and Butterlamp both made it in. So that's good news.
Thank God. So far, I'm alive in the office pool.
All right. let's, in fact, talk about the biggest controversy of the morning, which is Best Animated Feature Film.
Best Animated, all right.
Yeah, people are losing their S over the fact that these are your nominees. Big Hero 6, The Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Song of the Sea, The Tale of Princess Kaguya.
Sure.
Any glaring omission there? Anything you say should be nominated? Isn't
a little movie that, if I recall correctly, was last year about Legos?
The Lego Movie.
Oh, my God,
not nominated in Best Animated Feature category.
Which people loved.
People loved, and it was a huge hit.
Wow.
And this morning, the internet has exploded over it. I don't know. It's got Best Original Song. Everything is Awesome has been nominated, but the movie itself was snubbed.
Huh. That is a shock.
That's the biggest shock of the morning so far. Let's take a look at some of the other categories, including Best Supporting Actor, Robert Duvall for The Judge, Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, Edward Norton for Birdman, Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher, and J.K. Simmons for Whiplash. No real surprises there.
Pretty strong categories, yeah.
Very strong. But a lot of those guys were given nods at the Golden Globes, so you've heard their names. Best Supporting Actress, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Laura Dern for Wild, Keira Knightley, The Imitation Game, Emma Stone for Birdman, and Meryl Streep, perennial nominee, for Into the Woods.
They just put her name on the list, right?
She makes a movie, she's nominated. That's the way it works. She's got a deal.
But she's also great in everything she does.
Agreed.
That is true. Best Actor, Steve Carell for Foxcatcher, nominated for an Oscar. How about
now, that? I know we're used to that now because that movie's been out for a while and he's been getting raves. But if somebody had come up to you in the first year of The Office and said, you're looking at a guy who's going to get an Academy Award nomination in a few years, I think we would have been surprised.
I agree. Bradley Cooper for American Sniper. Benedict Cumberbatch for The Imitation Game. Michael Keaton, no surprise there, for Birdman. And Eddie Redmayne for The Theory of Everything.
There's your winner, by the way.
I think so, probably.
Redmayne?
Yeah, I think so, too.
Because he goes full ALS?
Exactly, yeah. By the way, this is interesting, Ralph. Bradley Cooper, third year in a row he's been nominated for an Academy Award.
How about him?
You don't see a streak like that very often.
Best Actress, Marion Cotillard.
Kevin, anything to say about Miss Cotillard?
Bonkers.
Beautiful. All right, Bonkers, 2 days, one night. Felicity Jones for The Theory of Everything. Julianne Moore for Still Alice. Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl. And Reese Witherspoon for Wild. Best Original Screenplay is Birdman, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, The Grand Budapest Hotel, and Nightcrawler. Those are your nominees for Best Screenplay. Best Adapted Screenplay, taken from another source. American Sniper, The Imitation Game. Inherent Vice, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. Best Director nominees. Gets interesting here. Morton Tyldum for The Imitation Game. Wes Anderson for The Grand Budapest Hotel. Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher. Richard Linklater for Boyhood. And Alejandro Inarritu for Birdman. And as always, they can have up to 10 nominees for Best Picture.
Right.
This year we have 8 nominees for Best Picture for Best Film.
So now, does that say to us that this was not a great year for movies just passed?
I'm stunned that they have the potential to nominate 10 and they don't.
Yeah, that's weird.
Because you would have a chance to acknowledge a lot of, in this case, 2 other great films that maybe don't have a shot to win, but at least people could pay tribute
to them.
Still
seems like it's good for the movie industry.
I agree.
To put them up, yeah.
So it's surprising me that only 8 nominees this year, but here they are. For Best Picture, American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash.
Now, I know that I complain about this a lot, and I have pretty weak movie taste, but Guardians of the Galaxy was a monster movie, and I think was great.
Listen, there's always going to be
the battle between
success and critical acclaim.
But I think that was both.
Well, people enjoyed it, and they said it was a great movie, but it wasn't. Did not advance the art in any way. You know what I'm saying? It was sort of a traditional sort of popcorn movie, action adventure, very well done. I'm just being the devil's advocate here. I think maybe sometimes the Oscar the people who nominate the films look for something that is a little bit more sort of
depressing.
No, highbrow.
Has to be depressing.
A little more highbrow.
You know what else is interesting, Ralph, is some of these movies that you listed in the Best Picture category, like The Grand Budapest Hotel and Selma, for instance, come to mind. No acting nominations, yet they're Best Pictures.
People are talking on the internet about the fact that no African-American actors have been nominated in any of the categories. So that's upsetting to some people, especially since Selma was nominated and had some great performances in it.
But then I would say, who do you want nominated and who do you take off the list? Because that's a fair question. If there's only 5 actors and there's 8 movies, you got to narrow it down.
Yeah. I can tell you right now, out of the Best Picture nominees, I'd be hard-pressed to give you a favorite. I mean, there's a few films I think that probably have the edge over some of the others, but there's not one standout this year. I can tell you. You know, sometimes every year you can say, oh, well, obviously that's going to be
the big winner. It's got to clean
up. Yeah, but this is going to be an interesting Oscars, I think.
Yeah, I think I sort of agree with you, although I think Boyhood has got to be a little bit of a front runner, just having just won the Golden Globes in the Best Drama category.
But then Grand Budapest Hotel won for comedy.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but they don't vote for comedy, man.
Theory of Everything's got Stephen Hawking in it, which is always a big pull.
Oh, and Birdman.
Birdman has a lot of momentum behind it. However, I think there's a little bit of a backlash on Birdman, and I think maybe rightly so. We've had this conversation off air. But I think Birdman has some amazing performances, some of the best acting of the year. But I think that movie kind of falls apart at the end of it. I think the script is sort of weak. And I think the directing is a little showy for some people.
I think it also doesn't help if you hear a lot about it before you see it.
That's true.
Because if people tell you it's the greatest movie ever, and then you go, you have too high expectations, and it just doesn't deliver.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be hearing a lot about these movies and these nominations for the next few weeks. But in case you're interested, the Academy Awards air on February the 22nd on ABC right here in Hollywood. And Neil Patrick Harris is going to be the host. So at least it'll be an entertaining show.
Kevin, you'll be happy to know Guardians of the Galaxy is nominated for Best Visual Effects.
All right.
Along with Captain America the Winter Soldier, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Interstellar, and X-Men Days of Future Past. Those are like my favorite films of the year.
That's quite a list right there.
Song's called Geronimo, by the way. The band is Shepherd, if you're wondering. It's not actually called Hey! They just say that a lot in the song. Hey, Producer Dave.
What's up, guys?
Clipper Dave, as I guess we should call you now that your Clipper song is out.
I'm just going to say that, you know, we played the song a couple days ago. Clippers are 1-0. Biggest win of the year.
Why was it the biggest win of the year?
Because they beat a good team on the road.
It was a good comeback, and it was a good team that plays well at home.
Yeah.
All right. I think you get all the credit for that.
I agree.
I think so, too.
Congratulations.
The reason our producer steps in this morning is because it's that time of the week we look forward to, the brand-new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world, it is time for the Internet Roundup. So tell all the boys and girls, we've got funny and sexy even music, too. We've got all the greatest videos, and on YouTube. Click your mouse in the air like you don't care. You could watch these videos all up in your underwear. Internet, come on baby, watch some. And now it's time for the internet
Dave finds the best viral videos of the week and puts them in one handy location for you at KROQ.com or KevinAndBean.com. As always, there are a couple that we don't have audio for on the radio, but they're well worth seeking out on the website, including, Kevin, this could be your favorite video of the year so far.
I saw it. I love it.
This is a video of it's a whole bunch of ladies who have cats laying on their chests, and cats apparently love boobs. And they're what they call posting, where they move their claws in and out of the boobs, or they're nestling their heads inside the, you know, the cleavage and everything. But it's just nothing but chicks with big boobs and cats on top of them.
Caressing them.
It is a great supercut, isn't it?
Getting comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you uncomfortable. It really does.
It does seem like it should be sexy, but it's not. It's just people hanging out with their pets.
I thought you were going to talk about the hockey one. That's the one.
Awesome video. Oh, the hockey one is awesome, too. How do you describe what happens to that poor schmuck coming off the ice?
He was coming off the ice. He was mad, so he hit the glass with his stick, but then tried to walk through, and his stick caught on the glass and hit him right in the neck.
He clotheslines himself.
Oh, my God.
It's awesome.
All right. First up, though, here's a great video of a radio station in Atlanta went down and was interviewing some people at a monster truck show and ran into this woman who just loves monster trucks and loves the man that she met through monster trucking. And you're going to think that this woman is the offspring of our own Kevin and Miley Cyrus. This is, if you put those two together, you get this lady.
Why is monster truck racing such a good time?
Because it's bad. Honey, I have a man who has 5 kids together.
You have 5 kids?
Well, I don't. Oh. But me and man together do. And he has a dad truck. And his dad truck is a monster truck at home.
Your guy's monster truck at home?
Oh, yes. Right over here in Georgia.
And how is that how he got you? He showed you his monster truck?
Oh, no. I got him. I said, I'll do it right here in front of everybody.
Wow. I think it's pretty cool. So there you go. You got to see the rest of that interview. I don't know. You know, every once in a while a video comes up, we go, why did somebody even have the idea? And in this case, why do you take a vintage clip of Black Sabbath performing Paranoid from the early 70s and replace the music with A Flock of Seagulls, I Ran So Far Away? Like, what's the, like, how do, why would you ever put A Flock of Seagulls and Black Sabbath together in one mix? Like, what's the point of that, do you think, Kevin?
I don't know, but it's pretty good.
Here's how it ends up. I don't get it, but it's pretty cool and
new
pretty
wave
well
metal.
Done. All right, Kevin, now I know you hate Taylor Swift.
I do.
But this is her song Blank Space that is being redone with new lyrics by our old friend Mac Lethal, the world's fastest rapper. Dave, do you believe that somebody wrote in and asked him to write a song to help them break up with their girlfriend?
Well, it's a little series he calls Mac Lethal's rap greeting cards.
Right.
So they write to him, and he raps a story about it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. This particular one, maybe he did it just to kick it off or something, but it's pretty strong.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
This guy suggests that he found out that his girlfriend was cheating on him because of something he found out in the kitchen, and Mac Lethal wrote a song about it.
Hello everybody, I'm Daryl, and this right here is a song for Nicole. You and I have been together 5 long years, but I now know you Craig and long for his pole. I used to think that it was only you and me. Stupidly, I would even give you the moon and sea. But I came home and found a bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios in the sink, and damn it, you're gluten free.
So you wanna sleep with my friends and let them eat up all my cereal? Well, you should have gave them cornflakes. Now my mother.
It's pretty well done.
Very well done. And that's about the slowest you'll ever hear Mac Lethal rap, too, by the way. All right, this is great. A lot of people, me included, used to be huge country music fans. But country music in recent years has gone through this bro country phase where every song on the radio sounds exactly the same. Here's a dude who decided to prove it. He took 6 super popular country songs from the past year and basically edited them together, laid them one on top of another. And you're not going to believe that these 6 clips are not from the same song. Here's how similar they sound.
Cottonwood falling like snow in July.
Said fireflies popping like a 4th of July, yeah.
Breeze blowing in, your hair blowing round. You're scanning through the stations looking for that country sound.
Trucks jacked up, flat bills flip back.
Scoring down just right.
It's unbelievable.
Isn't that incredible?
Wow. And the words on the screen tell you every time it changes the song.
It's crazy when he puts them all together and it's just one song.
It's just one song. Yeah. I hate every one of them. And that's six different songs rolled into one. Our friends at Honest Trailers are back. Great timing. It just came out for download and DVD this week. He's talking about Gone Girl.
Meet Nick and Amy, two successful, good-looking people in love. She's the basis for a beloved series of children's books.
Your wife is amazing, Amy.
And he's a caring son who moves to Missouri to take care of his sick mother. They seem like the perfect couple, but there's just one problem. She's batshit f***ing crazy.
Who's that? Great Autos trailer this time, Rod. Definitely fun.
They didn't mention the weird boobs, though.
Here's a, I was just you, Dave. You're the only one who thought she had weird boobs. The rest of us are fine with her boobs. Here's a great video, and I can't believe I've never seen anyone do this before, but there's actual footage of actual parents sitting down and talking to their real-life kids about the birds and the bees, because it's so cute to see the way kids understand sex before they're being told how it really works, and a lot of these kids don't even want to hear about it, but it's pretty funny.
So, today we're going to talk about how babies are made and where they come from.
Yay. Would you like to know how babies are made?
Made of water. Humans are made of water.
Yeah,
I knew it.
That's true.
From God.
From God?
I thought it was because of God that sent us down into your stomach to be born.
To be born?
Sperm, egg, collide, fella.
What do you mean, sperm, egg, collide? Where did you learn that from?
Nick. Duh.
Who's Nick?
My brother.
What did he tell you?
Bad stuff.
Bad did anyone stuff. Else find this awkward?
Because these kids are two. They look like they're like five? Maybe. Yeah, I was really a little bit surprised, but it's pretty funny. The kids are super cute. All right, and finally, in this edition of the Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup, Mean Tweets is back. Jimmy Kimmel was all over the college football championship game on Monday night, and he took advantage of the opportunity to have people involved in college sports, football coaches, broadcasters, read mean tweets about themselves that they actually found on the Internet.
Desmond Howard's mustache looks like the starting point of a maze.
Reese Davis is a tool and needs to suck a muffler.
Lou Holtz looks like a creepy ventriloquist puppet and sounds like Daffy Duck. 88 Amper, I agree with you.
Mark Helfrich looks like a Ninja Turtle.
Sideline reporter Heather Cox. Great name for an ES reporter and a porn star. Not original, I've heard that one a lot.
Tim Tebow is not cute, sexy, or hot. He ugly. Sorry about it.
You can see all of these videos and so much more at KevinAmin.com or KRock.com. It's a brand new Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now, baby, go watch the Internet Roundup. Yeah!
We will talk this weekend's UFC Fight Night with the notorious Conor McGregor coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on KRock. LA Times columnist Glenn Whip discusses the Oscar nominations coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. That's straight ahead. You know, we give Dave a lot of heat for still watching Glee, for being the only guy in America probably still watching Glee. But I got to tell you, you see this Naya Rivera, it's kind of hard to not tune into a TV show that she's on for an hour.
Yeah.
She is unbelievably attractive. She's one of the stars of Glee. She was doing some press for the show recently, got a little bit of controversy going when she said on the Glee that showering daily is such a white people thing.
I have a theory about showering.
Which is
I think that white people shower a lot more than ethnic.
Really?
I feel like showering more than once a day or every day is such a white people thing. A dermatologist says that you are only supposed to shower once or twice every 3 days. So I'm right on the mark.
So it was a little bit controversial. She got a lot of heat online from people who were saying, hey, when you tell the world that you shower every 3 days, that says more about you, not about us. Someone else suggested that some things are better left unsaid. And she took a little bit of heat that maybe it was racist even. Some people were actually offended. And I guess she's apologized, Kevin. Is that what the latest is?
She came back the next day. What was it, The View? She came back the next day and apologized for that. Now, seriously, if your feelings get hurt by that, that's on you. Isn't it?
Well, the reason we have Bruce Endicott on the line, Kevin, and we'll go to him now from coffee, is that he talks us through difficult topics like this. Like, how do you talk about race in 2015 where you can say something and not offend people, yet still be truthful? Bruce, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Good. I'm sorry. I forgot. What does coffee stand for?
Our organization, Coffee, C-O-F-F-A-E, stands for Caucasians. Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
Okay. Everyone. Okay, great. So you're familiar, I'm certain, that you are addressing the Naya Rivera controversy. This is kind of what you do, right, sir?
Absolutely. We take very inflammatory racial situations, sexist situations, that type of thing, and we try to help bridge the gap between the good people like myself and others, white, Protestant, wealthy, and then, you know, with the other people.
Wait, you're saying you're classifying yourself and rich white people as good people?
Well, we're all good people, I'm sure, deep down inside. Some of us just look better.
All right. So let me just start with this then, Bruce. Was it a mistake what Ms. Rivera said on The View?
Well, I think any time you start classifying people in terms of race and separating them for anything, it's a dangerous situation and a slippery slope, and someone's going to be offended. But in this particular case, I believe Ms. Rivera may have had a point that sometimes there's different hygiene rituals for different cultures.
Right.
So today, let's talk about ethnic cleansing. I'm a big fan of ethnic cleansing.
That's wrong two-word combination.
Yeah, that's not the expression you mean to use, I don't think, Bruce.
Sure it is. How clean are different ethnicities?
No.
Don't use the word ethnic cleansing.
Praise has a completely different. Let's face it.
Maybe don't say those words.
America needs to deal with ethnic cleansing in a positive way.
No, Bruce,
there's no positive way to do that. Please
stop. Can't you say hygiene or showering?
Nothing clean about how you cleanse yourself.
Okay. Clean. Okay. Let's just stay away from the words ethnic and cleanse if we could, sir.
I mean, Ms. Rivera was right. Unfortunately, white people, we are a very good smelling bunch. There's just no two ways around it. You get a group, you get 12 white people in a room, and it's like a bouquet of fresh flowers. Let's face it. It's an unfortunate fact. We do shower, many of us daily, sometimes more than once a day. And unfortunately, I'd like to apologize on behalf of Caucasians. We are clean and good smelling.
Okay, but when you say that, it doesn't have to be at the expense of other people who aren't white. They can also be good smelling, right, Bruce?
I agree. They could be. I haven't met any, but I'm sure they could be if they'd like to be.
All right.
And I think that's a good thing. It's part of the cultural mix that makes America great.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes I even voluntarily will ride mass transit just to get that nice, strong chorizo pungent odor in my nose because it's a nice change of pace from clean white people.
That just sounds like a terrible racist thing that you should apologize for, Bruce.
Not at all. I mean, Ms. Rivera herself said she showers every third day?
Every third day. Yes.
Third day.
So it's nice to get a nice whiff of whatever nationality she is, I'm sure.
I'm not all sure right, you're Bruce. Helping, Bruce.
Of course I am. Okay. I'm saying it's okay. Whether you're white, whether you're Hispanic, whether you're African American, all that matters is that really we take a good long look at ethnic cleansing.
Okay. I think we're just going to leave it there, Bruce. Thanks for trying to help today, though.
All righty, then.
Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz news on a big day in Hollywood. What's going on, Ralph?
Who the F are you?
What?
Who the F are you?
Who are you talking to?
Are you talking to Bean? Or?
No, it's what Keith Richards said to Justin Bieber.
Love it.
Yeah. Apparently the 71-year-old legendary Rolling Stone met Bieber, according to a Wednesday report from Us Weekly magazine. There was a chance encounter during a vacation in Turks and Caicos over the New Year. And Justin Bieber was in a bar and walked up to Keith, who was at the bar throwing back drinks.
That's awesome.
And he came up to him, and Keith apparently wheeled around and said, "Who the F are you?" According to witnesses, Justin Bieber shot back, "I don't know. Who the F are you?"
Good one. Oh, no, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Burn!
Are you kidding me?
No. And once he was told who the old guy was, Bieber apparently tried to buddy up with him, but Richards, according to onlookers, was unimpressed. At one point, the guitar genius said, "Let's get one thing straight. You're a wannabe."
Yes.
Boom!
Boom, indeed.
Slap it down.
That's great.
So, well done, Keith Richards, you old junkie, you.
Ralph, did you see the Bieber photo that was going around yesterday that has me very concerned? Which one is that?
We don't know which one has you concerned.
The one of him with Rick Rubin, claiming that they are working together.
Yeah.
Rick Rubin, producer of everybody, Slayer, the Red Hot Chili Peppers,
every
the Beastie
kind of music
Boys,
too,
Johnny Cash. Yeah. I'm worried that he'll do something with Justin Bieber and it'll be good, and then we'll have more Bieber.
Look, we're not going to get any less Bieber. So you can just let that go. It's going to be here whether you like it or not.
Okay.
Nothing.
Why would
do.
Rick Rubin work with Justin Bieber? Why?
Yeah, I don't know.
He likes a challenge.
But he's also not the kind of guy that goes, that guy rubs me the wrong way, I'm not going to work with him. He'll work with people. He's got an open mind, I imagine.
Yeah, he did Neil open. Diamond last year.
There you go.
You know, he did the Dixie Chicks. I mean, he'll just do, there's no rhyme or reason to do Johnny Cash. I mean, he'll do anything, I guess, that just strikes his fancy. But Bieber, that's too much. That's too far for me to understand.
Tomorrow night, Friday night, I want to give you a heads up. Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show. We'd love to have you come join us.
No.
Go to the improv, not go to improv.com, E-I-M-P-R-O-V.com for more info and tickets. 10 p.m. tomorrow night, Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin Smith. Still a few tickets left. Still a few tickets available. Lisa's not coming. Fine, I don't care.
Nope.
Stay home and watch her. Kids are darndest cooks. Is there anyone surprised that Lisa watches MasterChef Junior?
Nope.
None of us were surprised.
I said, we really missed you yesterday, Lisa. And then she said that. I was like, you know what? We didn't miss you so much.
Not so much.
Those kids can
not
cook.
That much.
Oh, boy. Those
kids
sure cook.
I don't know if I told
cook.
You that.
Like crazy people.
They, nuts.
They can whip and whisk and flambé.
All of those things.
Oscar nominations were released this morning. Real quick recap, your major categories. Best Actor, Steve Carell, Bradley Cooper, Benedict Cumberbatch, Michael Keaton, and Eddie Redmayne. Best Actress, Marion Cotillard, for a movie called 2 Days, 1 Night. Felicity Jones for The Theory of Everything, Julianne Moore, Rosamund Pike, and Reese Witherspoon. Best Supporting Actor, Robert Duvall for The Judge, Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, Edward Norton in Birdman, Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher, and J.K. Simmons for Whiplash. Best Supporting Actress, Trish Arquette for Boyhood, Laura Dern for a movie called Wild, Keira Knightley for The Imitation Game, Emma Stone for Birdman, and Meryl Streep, Into the Woods. Best Picture, American Sniper. Boy, I want to see that.
Me too.
And those commercials are real compelling. They're chilling, aren't they?
Yeah. Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash.
Okay, so they nominated 8. They could have nominated 10. How about Fury? Did you guys see Fury? That was great.
No, I didn't see Fury.
Brad Pitt?
Yeah, in a tank, right?
That
Brad
was
Pitt
great.
In a tank.
Yes.
Yeah. Was it loud?
It was loud, too, yes.
It was loud. Yeah.
Oh, it was a good loud.
I think it was good, too.
Why not have loud good movies? What about good louds?
I'm saying it was good.
As you mentioned, Kevin, what about the Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
I think Captain America the Winter Soldier is one of the best movies.
Yeah, it was
of
a great
year.
Movie, too.
I mean, not just as a good superhero movie, just like a really compelling script, sort of a political thriller. Had a lot going for it.
The Oscars are not fans of those.
No, they do not. They do not reward popularity.
Could be popular and good.
Sometimes. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Regina King is 44 years old today. Alexander Gustafsson from the UFC, he is 28. DJ Skrillex. 27 years old.
Get a haircut.
He's probably doing fine with that one.
Get a cut in another state, though.
Come on, you guys are with me. That's a ridiculous haircut for a grown man.
You
right?
cannot talk about ridiculous hair. Yeah.
His hair.
Look, this doesn't have anything to do with my hair,
it
though.
Does.
Saying,
when you
look
put on ponytails,
hair.
When you wear ponytails, you lose the ability to criticize
Second
other
of all,
people's hair.
Defend Skrillex's hair. Defend it shaved on one side and 2 feet long on the other. Defend that.
I just have sort of gotten used to it. I look at it like it's just. That's him.
And a guy who doesn't have to worry about his hairdo, Pitbull. Pitbull celebrates his 34th birthday. Dolly! Mr. Worldwide! I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We'll talk with the writer for the Los Angeles Times, Glenn Whip, later this hour about the Oscar nominations and snubs coming up in about half an hour or so. Jim Rome on the program today. Comedian Ari Shaffir will be here as well. And Dr. Drew is going to be here to tell us why we're all going to get measles.
Yeah.
By the way, didn't you... I haven't heard about anyone getting measles like since I've been an adult. Now all of a sudden, everybody's getting measles. What's up with that?
I don't know. Yeah. I would say stupid parents, but we're going to have to wait for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Seems like a bad
also,
deal.
Also, K-Rock's World Tour 2015 is happening. Destination number one. Listen to K-Rock every day at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. You can qualify to win a pair of passes to Coachella. Plus, you get to see any band that's playing Coachella anywhere they're playing in the world in 2015.
That's unbelievable.
That's pretty cool. Your chance to win is coming up at 9 a.m.
All right.
Let's find out from Dave whether we're going to have our guest or not. And if we're not, then we can do the other thing.
Okay.
Dave, what do you know?
I know they can't find him.
Okay, well, you say that's a good sign or a bad sign?
Not a good sign.
Let's do the other thing.
All right. We are looking for the notorious MMA himself, Conor McGregor, who might be joining us at any time here to talk about the UFC fight that's happening Sunday night from Boston, which it looks like it's going to be awesome, by the way. I can't get over the fact that we have two weekends in a row with free UFC fights.
Yeah.
Kind of makes up for all those $55 we spend every time, right? All right, let's talk about the other thing. I oftentimes will come on the air and give you guys a story and be so frustrated at how many details are left out. I have so many questions after I read the news story, and I always say, man, I hope there's some sort of a follow-up so we can find out the answer to some of these questions. Well, there is a follow-up on one of the stories we talked about early in the show last week about a man named Rob Conrad. If you're a hardcore NFL fan, you might recognize the name. He is a former Miami Dolphin. I think he played with the Dolphins for about 6 years. He's been retired for about 10 years. He was out fishing in the ocean in Florida last week, and he was about 10 miles offshore when apparently he fell off of his boat. One of the details that came out in his ESPN press conference, Kevin, we were wondering how he fell off of his boat, is that he caught a fish. He caught a big fish that pulled him into the water.
All right.
Ordinarily, that would have been fine.
Where did his boat go?
Well, his boat was on autopilot, and his boat was going at 5 miles an hour. So he was fishing while the boat was moving.
Ah.
Once he fell off the boat, then the boat got away from him, and he was unable to get back on the boat. So now he's out in the water, and it's 12:30 in the afternoon, which is another detail we didn't know when this had happened. And he realizes he is 9 miles from shore.
Oh, man.
What do you do? Lisa, when we talked about this last week, you said open water. I saw that movie. I know how this would end.
Yes. 9 miles.
Just give up. Can you swim 9 miles?
In the ocean.
Who can swim 9 miles?
I can't
imagine. No one can swim 9 miles, right?
Having said that, if you're in that situation and it's die or swim 9 miles,
you give it a shot, right?
I think some people would be surprised at what you could do.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this is not dissimilar to the guy who finds a sudden burst of strength and is able to lift a car off of a little girl. I mean, you do what you have to do in extraordinary circumstances. I think in the back of all of our minds, we would be like, all right, I'm going to start swimming in the direction I think the shore is, but I'm probably not going to make it. Here's what was going through his mind from the ESPN press conference from Rob Conrad.
I quickly realized, like I said, I was in a real bad situation, and made the decision that I was going to start swimming towards shore. I was going to start swimming west and try to, I figured I was 9 miles out. I figured that it was going to take me more than 10 hours to get back to, back to shore, and I thought that that was not a possibility at this point in time. Everything that I had read had said you had 2 to 3 hours of treading water or swimming before you had hypothermia or you cramped up, and both were going to be bad outcomes.
Both of those things did happen to him, by the way. Not only did he have hypothermia, not only did he cramp up, but he saw sharks swimming in the water around him.
Yeah.
And he was bitten repeatedly by jellyfish. In fact, he was led into the press conference. Somebody helped him into the press conference, and he was using a cane. So I think it's a combination of all those things happening to him out in the water. Even a few days after the rescue, it didn't seem like he was in very good shape.
But don't you get the idea we're going to hear, did I say 9 miles? I meant 4. Don't you think that's going to come out?
Well, his estimation, and I don't have any idea where the math on this came. His estimation, and I think it's in this next clip that we're going to play, is that because the tide pushed him, he was swimming toward the shore.
Yeah, he
but
had
the
to
tide was pushing
current.
Him horizontally. He believes that he swam over 20 miles.
What?
Really? Because I'm going to suggest that the currents had to be helping him.
Well, he says not. It also Last week when we heard the early reports of the story, and again, it was based on very sketchy information because he did end up on the shore and got to a homeowner who called 911. Paramedics came and put him in the hospital, but he didn't talk to press. So we didn't know. We were just kind of filling in a lot of details, and it was estimated that it had taken him about 10 hours to swim. Mm-hmm. In the press conference, he said it took him 16 hours to swim. So he washed up on the beach in Florida at 4:30 in the morning, having fallen off of his boat at 12:30 the afternoon before.
Oh my
that
God.
Doesn't seem possible.
It doesn't
seem possible. He also said, by the way, at one point as I swam into the night, there was a fishing boat, a recreational fishing boat, about 50 yards away. I tried to flag down the boat. It didn't work out. Can you imagine how excited you would be if you're in his situation? I don't know how many hours into the swim he is at this point, but you see a boat, you just must be so happy you're going to get rescued.
50 yards.
And then you can't get its attention, and it goes on by. You'll also recall last week, Kevin, that we said that when he didn't show up for dinner, his friends alerted the Coast Guard that he was missing and was out of contact, was not answering his phone, and they sent out helicopters looking for him for about an hour, remember? He says in the press conference, a little bit later on, I saw the Coast Guard helicopter. They were out searching the water. At one point in time, they came right over the top of me. They had their lights on me, but they kept going. They didn't see me. That was a difficult time.
Hey, how about less swimming and more getting people's attention?
I don't know what he could have done, but it's a miraculous story, and there are a lot of people who are asking questions. I believe this guy, by the way, because I don't think there's any reason in a million years why you make up a story like this. But there are people who are saying it's just physically impossible, and that they believe it will be revealed to be a hoax. What do you guys think?
No. Isn't that awful that we always have to go there?
I think Jimmy Kimmel is behind it. It's a stunt.
I think it is awful, Lisa, that I think a guy has incredible luck and also incredible stamina to be able to survive something like this, and he has to face even one of us sitting back in our armchair saying, nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Here's the final clip from the press conference, though, right near the end, where he gets very emotional, where he realizes that he is just damn lucky to be alive.
I shouldn't be here. 16 hours in the water, and I think I ended up traveling 27 miles all in. Talking to the Coast Guard yesterday, I think I was in the water for 16 hours, 27 miles, and I shouldn't be here. Yeah, I mean, after some time, I just said, look, I'm not dying tonight, and I'm going to make it to shore.
I think the Dolphins should re-sign him, by the way. I think if this guy can do that, he's got to be able to do something to help his team, right?
I would think so. How does he know 27 miles?
I don't know. I don't know where that estimate came from.
Look, I'm a piece of crap, but come on now. Right? That's what I'm saying.
Excellent point, Kevin, as always.
Who's with me?
This Sunday night on Fox Sports 1, it's UFC Fight Night from the TD Garden in Boston. The matchup in the featherweight bout at the top could determine and should determine the division's next title challenger. Is it going to be Mr. Dennis Seaver, or is it going to be the notorious MMA himself, Conor McGregor? Since Conor McGregor's on the phone, I'm saying it's going to be him. I think he's definitely going to win. Conor, welcome to the Kevin Abin Show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you, guys. Good to be on.
Good to be with you. Are you? We understand you are still in bed. You're sleeping in here. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, for me, I don't usually get up till about 2 p.m. I fight late at night, so I like to. I feel like I'm alive at night, so I like to chill and relax and sleep late.
Oh, 2 p.m. sounds awesome.
That's a sweet schedule. That's a pretty sweet schedule. All right, I have to ask, we have so many questions for you. You're one of our very favorite fighters. How did you end up getting this fight in Boston? I know this has your fingerprints all over it, a town that has tons of Irish people, a town that's on the east coast of the United States where it's easy for Irish people to get to it. You were going to own the house Sunday night. How did it work out that you're fighting in Boston?
You know, all the things you just mentioned, I mean, it seems like a really smart business move by the UFC. You know, we went to Dublin this year. We blew the roof off the place in Dublin. Then we brought the Irish invasion to Las Vegas, and we're sitting on a football stadium back home in Dublin. But I wanted to be kept busy. My body was fit. My body was ready. So I requested a fight, and they put the plan in motion, and they came up with Boston. So it really is business genius. You put an Irishman smack bang in the heart of Boston City and throw in a little German in there, and boom, you've got a sellout and you've got a phenomenal show.
Conor, is it fun for you? You're one of the best smack talkers in the UFC. Is it fun for you to get to people to see how upset they get by your talking?
You know, it's an unusual one for me because I hear smack talk, I hear trash talk, I hear this a lot. But for me, I simply speak the truth. You know, in this game, we are asked a lot of questions about our opponents, about our competitors, about our peers, and I simply speak fact. I think it's the way of the Irish. You know, we speak it as we see it, and unfortunately, over this neck of the woods, people have labeled it trash talking or something. But for me, I speak my mind, and I speak what I believe to be truth.
Well, you certainly have been able to back up your words. Obviously, you are undefeated in your short UFC career. But what do you gain when you come out and say, I am going to knock him out in the second round? It seems like that's really setting up some very difficult expectations for you to fulfill. I mean, you can win the fight and not win in the second round.
Well, that would be easy because really what I said was, I will knock him out inside the first 2 minutes of the first round. So I didn't say the second round, I said inside 2 minutes, which is, which for me is an accurate prediction, you know, I look at, it does not come from cockiness, it does not come from arrogance, it comes from simply analyzing my opponent's movement, analyzing his reactions, and realizing that within the opening 2 minutes of the first round, I feel the shot that I need to land to put my opponent away will happen 4 or 5 times over within that 2 minute time frame. So I feel giving my opponent and giving myself a 2 minute prediction is plenty. You know, I feel it will end within the 2 minute frame, and that all depends on how many shots my opponent can take, but I feel the shot I will need to land will land 4 or 5 times over in that 2 minutes.
Now, is it a success if you win it in the second round?
You know, victory is victory, and if my opponent could come through the shots, I will take my hat off to him, you know. But again, I only speak truth, and when I feel something, when I feel something will happen, it happens.
Do you think that Dennis Seaver is a worthy opponent?
Yeah, I do think he is a worthy opponent. He has more UFC fights than I have had fights. Period. So he is definitely a worthy opponent. I mean, as long as you are signed by the three letters, the UFC, you are a worthy opponent. Now, does that mean he is on my level or any of these other athletes are on my level? Not a snowball's chance in hell are any of these athletes on my level. But they are signed by the three letters of the UFC. They are experienced. And that is it. It's easy pickings, it feels like, for me. So I'm just enjoying the ride.
Now, I know that you can't look past Seaver, and you're trained not to. But Jose Aldo, what are your thoughts on him? Because he seems like the real deal.
They all seem identical to me. For me, they seem like they all have their areas where they excel in. But they all seem to me like they are in a rut. They are stuck in a rut, a pattern. They are all stuck in patterns, and then routine almost. And routine is lethal. You know, routine will kill you, to be honest. So I don't. But as far as my thoughts on Jose Aldo, I don't really. Sometimes you hear athletes in this game. They say that they train their whole life to fight this one individual. I've heard that many times. Athletes coming up challenging for the belt. I've trained my whole career to fight this man. But for me, I do not do that. I am on my own journey of freeing up the human anatomy, allowing it to move in all ways and be completely controlled in all situations and have complete comfort in the most uncomfortable situations. I am on my own journey. I have no thoughts on Jose Aldo or any of the competitors. I feel there is nothing to worry me, that there is nothing. I look at them and I do not see anything that makes me think about them. I feel I do not need to think about them.
The fight is free. It's Sunday night at 7 o'clock in Boston, and it's a 5-round fight. Have you gone 5 rounds?
I have been scheduled to fight 5 rounds on 3 occasions. This will be my 4th occasion to be scheduled 5 rounds. In all 4 bouts, I've knocked my opponent out inside 1 round. My previous organization, I held 2 world titles in 2 different weight divisions consecutively, and I vacated them when I signed with the UFC. So I have had experience in the mental preparation for a 5-round fight, but yet when these people get hit by me, they fall. So, and it is that simple. I have 12 first round knockouts on my resume, 14 overall, and Sunday night will be my 15th knockout and my 13th first round knockout. So I will continue doing what I'm doing, continue knocking out my opponents until there is nobody left.
So at some point, Kevin, he's coming for you. Well, I think we've heard enough to know that we will be tuning in. Fox Sports 1, the main card airs on Fox Sports 1 starting at 7 p.m. West Coast time. We're talking about UFC Fight Night, McGregor versus Seaver this Sunday night. It's going to be great. The Notorious MMA is how you can find Connor on Twitter and, of course, UFC.com for all the information on the fight. I'm glad we got a chance to catch up with you. Go back to sleep, man. Have fun this weekend in Boston. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Big, big day in Hollywood. The 87th Annual Academy Award nominations were revealed at 5:30 this morning. We've been talking about them throughout the day today. The headline is Birdman and the Grand Budapest Hotel are the leaders with 9 nominations each. They're the big, big films of the year. We thought we'd find out more about what was nominated and what wasn't because people seem obsessed with snubs. Los Angeles Times writer covering movies and television is Glenn Whip, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Glenn, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
You must not have loved having to get up so early this morning.
Yeah, I'm like on your morning drive time schedule, and I'm an amateur at that.
Yeah, we've been on for 2 hours already, and we get to go to bed at 10. So,
yeah.
What's the big first takeaway when you saw the nominations revealed this morning, sir?
A lot of takeaways. I mean, the first one was no Lego movie. That was, you know, the early categories being announced in.
And that's not just for best movie. That's for best animated movie.
Yeah, best animated movie. How do you not nominate that funny, inventive animated movie? I have no idea, except the animators are kind of snobs when it comes to animation. And that one was, you know, kind of crude, but by design. It was supposed to.
Right.
Now, is there a significant difference between that film and Big Hero 6, Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2, movies that did get nominated? I mean, you're telling me they're different, completely different styles?
Well, you know, it's just that the couple of the movies that did get nominated, these very hand-drawn classic animation movies, little indies like Song of the Sea, Tale of Princess Kaguya.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of either of them. nobody probably will. Very few people will. They're beautiful hand-drawn movies. Animators love them. But then, you know, the Lego movie was just kind of like this stop-motion with Legos. And
gotcha. Yeah. All right. Yeah, one of the things that changed a few years ago is the nominating committee can nominate, what, anywhere from 5 to 10 inclusive in the best picture category, right? And that's always kind of one of the big questions is how many will they nominate? 8 seems unusual to me. Like, I don't recall seeing that before.
Yeah, this is the fourth year where they've done between 5 and 10, and the other 3 years there have been 9, so this year only 8. Which kind of left out. I was thinking Nightcrawler had a lot of momentum. I thought it was going to sneak in. No Gone Girl.
Yeah, Gone Girl stood out to me too there.
No Gone Girl screenplay. That was,
yeah,
you know,
that is a surprise.
That great novel. No screenplay for Gone Girl. No, yeah, outside of the lead actress, Rosamund Pike, that was it for Gone Girl. And it was a huge hit. And
talk about that for a second, because we have this conversation all the time that's so frustrating about the Academy Awards that to a certain extent, they almost seem to punish things that are too popular. I know there are a lot of exceptions, but what about that? I mean, do they look at Gone Girl and go, oh, that's just a mainstream mid-America movie, so we're not going to vote for it maybe?
I think it was just too dark and strange for a lot of
the older
Academy members.
But they love dark. They love depressing.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, kind of what's interesting about this is, you know, American Sniper was kind of a big winner this morning. It got Best Picture nomination. Bradley Cooper, lead actor, got a screenplay over Gone Girl. It's opening this weekend.
Yeah.
It's been playing kind of limited release. It's opening this weekend. It's going to take in about $50 million, probably more than, say, Boyhood and Birdman combined in their – Sniper this weekend. So Sniper is going to be a huge hit.
Well, that does have Clint Eastwood, obviously. Clint Eastwood has tremendous Oscar pedigree, you know, as a director. But I have heard very mixed reviews about it. A lot of people think there are a lot of things to like about American Sniper. They think the performances are great, but the script itself doesn't hold up by the end. I mean, what did you think of it?
It was interesting. Sniper and Selma debuted at the AFI Film Fest back in November in Hollywood. Same night, back to back. Selma first. Audiences went crazy for it. Loved it. Sniper next, and it was like, eh, you know, Clint Eastwood came, introduced it, the movie played, and people liked it well enough, but there was no sense in the room that this was going to go on to be a Best Picture nominee.
Wow,
whereas
with that's
Selma,
interesting.
Everybody was just going crazy and huge standing ovation after the movie, and it was kind of like, well, and it did get nominated for Best Picture, but its lead actor, David Oyelowo, no nomination. A lot of people thought its director, Ava DuVernay, was going to be nominated. Finally, another woman maybe nominated for director, and none of that came to be.
What do you make of that? I mean, obviously, there are some who are going to immediately jump to racism. I don't think that's fair. I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with there are 8 Best Picture nominees, but there's only 5 in the Best Director category, so somebody's got to get it left out, right?
Yeah, and she doesn't have a real long track record in Hollywood where somebody – I mean, kind of the weird thing in the director race is that Bennett Miller got nominated for Foxcatcher, you know, this story about John DuPont,
right,
you know, Steve Carell starring in it. The movie itself, though, didn't get nominated for Best Picture. It's kind of odd that the director got nominated, and then in a field of 8, the movie didn't get nominated.
I will tell you, though, just to go back to the young man who plays Martin Luther King, and even though Brad Pitt tried to teach us, I still can't pronounce his name. What is it again, Glenn?
Oyelowo.
Okay, David Oyelowo. As great as he is in that role, if you argue that he should have been nominated, then you have to take somebody else out of the Best Actor category. And who do you take out with Steve Carell, Bradley Cooper, Benedict Cumberbatch, Michael Keaton, and Eddie Redmayne? Those are all extraordinary performances.
That's right. And you had Jake Gyllenhaal and Nightcrawler. A lot of people loved him.
Yep.
Ralph Fiennes, Grand Budapest Hotel. I mean, there were so many great acting performances. Yeah, who do you take out? I don't know.
All right, we're almost out of time. We're on the line with Glenn Whip. He is with the Los Angeles Times covering movie and television. You can follow him on Twitter at Glenn Whip. That's Glenn with 2 N's, Whip with 2 P's. If you had to pick today, Glenn, who do you think will win the Best Picture?
I'm sticking with Boyhood. I kind of have since all the movies finished screening. It's a movie that really connects with, well, first of all, you know, it's the movie that took 12 years to make. They spent a week a year filming it for 12 years, looking at this boy from first grade till when he goes off to college. And actors just love this kind of idea of this passion project, returning each year for 12 years, spending 12 years with the character. And it hits people on an emotional level watching this boy grow up. A lot of people kind of relate to it either as a parent or as a child, you know, or as a young person. So it seems to connect with people emotionally. It's won, you know, just won the Golden Globe. It's won every Critics Group Award. And I think the Academy will end up going with that.
And it also doesn't hurt that Richard Linklater has been a very popular director for a long time too, right?
Yeah, Linklater finally kind of getting the recognition he deserves after all these years. I think he's the favorite to win Best Director and you know, career that began with Dazed and Confused. He's made so many great movies and so many different types of great movies.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, fascinating stuff. And I know that you and the LA Times and all of your colleagues are going to be writing a lot about it up until the night of the Academy Awards, which, by the way, are going to be on February 22nd on ABC from the Dolby Theater in Hollywood. Neil Patrick Harris is going to be the host that night. Glenn, I'm sure we'll talk again. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Good talking to you.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
There's your response right there.
You missed, man. You got a bad aim from that this close a distance. Comedian Ari Shaffir joins us. I could have said that better.
No, it's strong. All right. It's burn.
Ari Shaffir joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Dr. Drew on the program today. And we'll talk sports with Jim Rome. Coming up next on K-Rock. First, here's Ralph with the showbiz.
It's a wonderful day for Oscar, Oscar, Oscar.
Hey, I want to give you a heads up before we get into Oscar talk. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I return to the stage at the Improv on Melrose with Hollywood Babylon. We will be talking about all the Oscar nominations with all the inside poop because Kevin's an Academy member, you know, so we're going to trash some people, I think.
Cool.
Dan.
Come join us tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Go to improv.com or csmod.com for all the details and for your tickets.
It's a fad. It won't last.
Yeah, it will last. We've been doing it for 4 years.
We've been doing it for 4 years.
Let's talk Oscars. First and foremost, let's talk about this morning's nomination broadcast. Early this morning, they came live on the television and told us all about who was going to be nominated. And, you know, the big nominations, actor and screenplay and best picture. No one had any problems with that. But cinematography, they had some problems with that this morning.
What?
Play with a clip.
For achievement in cinematography, the nominees are Dick Pope for Mr. Turner.
Yeah. Dick Poop for Mr. Turner! Yeah,
Dick Poop.
Poor Dick Poop. It's the most important day of Dick Pope's life, I guarantee you. He may never be nominated again for an Academy Award. And there he is. He got up early this morning with his family. And there's Dick Pope and Mrs. Pope and all the little Popes. And they're watching the podcast this morning. And the president of the Academy comes out and, Dick Poop!
For achievement in cinematography, the nominees are Dick Poop.
Oh,
Dick Pope.
Come on, Dick Poop.
Now, they had his name up on the screen spelled correctly, but she just said it wrong.
Come on with the Dick Poop.
That's awesome.
Right,
we lost the great Dick Trickle last year. He passed away, so maybe now Dick Poop will be our new man.
Here are your nominations, the big ones, the big categories. Best Supporting Actress, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Laura Dern for Wild, Keira Knightley for The Imitation Game, Emma Stone for Birdman, and Meryl Streep for Into the Woods. Best Supporting Actor, Bobby Duvall for The Judge, Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, Edward Norton for Birdman. Boy, he was great in Birdman.
He sure was.
Mark Ruffalo in Foxcatcher. He's always good in everything. J.K. Simmons was brilliant in Whiplash. He was nominated. Best Actor, Steve Carell for Foxcatcher. Bradley Cooper for American Sniper. Benedict Cumberbatch for The Imitation Game. There was a time when Benedict Cumberbatch was the strangest name we'd ever heard.
Yeah, true.
And now it's like, oh, okay, it's Benedict Cumberbatch again.
He's been in like five movies last year.
Michael Keaton for Birdman. Great performance. Eddie Redmayne. Talk about your performances. The Theory of Everything. Just a tour de force. Best Actress, Marion Cotillard for 2 Days, One Night.
Never
heard of that film. But
her eyes
Me
are
either.
Not bonkers,
her eyes
Kevin.
Are not
They're
bonkers.
Beautiful.
She's got beautiful eyes.
Bonkers. And a former Academy Award winner, let's recall.
Let's recall. Okay, I just recall
bonk,
that.
Bonkers.
Felicity Jones, The Theory of Everything. Julianne Moore, Still Alice. Rosamund Pike, Gone Girl. And Reese Witherspoon for Wild. A lot of people saying big snub this morning. Jennifer Aniston, not nominated for her work in Cake. Everyone said, oh, it's going to be her Oscar award-winning performance in Cake. She's so good in Cake.
I don't know what Cake is.
It's a movie that she's in. She takes her makeup off in.
So okay.
She's ugly. Oscar ugly.
Mm.
Turns out no one wants to see your ugly crying face, Jennifer Aniston. You were not nominated.
Is she as ugly as
Dick Poop?
No, it's as ugly as Dick Poop.
All right.
The Best Picture nominations, American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. Those are your big nominations for the Oscars. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. DJ Skrillex is 27 years old today. Alexander Gustafsson celebrates his 28th birthday. Pitbull, Dale, Mr. Worldwide, 34 years old. And actress Regina King celebrates her 44th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Banks with Begging for Threat on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
If you haven't heard her music, by the way, get immediately to your Spotify or to your iTunes or to your wherever, because she is awesome, and that song is just one of many great songs she has. Playing the Red Bull Sound Space next Tuesday, by the way. You can win your way in at krock.com. Get all the details there as well. We look forward to Thursday mornings at this time because we catch up with our good friend Jim Rome. Of course, you can hear him on AM 980 The Beast starting at 9 a.m. and nationwide. You can also see him on your TV on the CBS Sports Network at 3. And, of course, Jim Rome on Showtime. Jim, how you doing, buddy? What's going on, man?
Man, I live for Thursdays. What's up, guys? What's up?
Well, we have a bunch of stuff we want to talk to you about, obviously, especially with the big NFL weekend ahead. But I want to start by asking you this first. Broadcaster to broadcaster, we are still laughing about the conversation we had with Don King yesterday. And we love having Don on, and we've had him on for many years.
No one talks more than Don King and says yes. And I know you had him on yesterday. I wondered how you survived Hurricane King.
Well, that's so great. One of my callers said afterwards that no human in the history of the world has ever uttered more words in a lifetime than Don King.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, dude's like 84, and he's still like 300 words per second. And wait, let me guess. If you guys had him on, did he say, Kevin, Bean, you two dudes are incredibly, impossibly, irrefutably, inimitable.
Yes,
he did. Greatest radio show in the history of the world. Yeah, I love you guys.
Did he say the exact same thing to you?
Exact
he's
same thing to me.
He's cheating on us.
Exact same thing.
Son of a bitch.
He's so good, though, man. He's so funny. I haven't spoken to him guys in years, and I'm telling you, it's like he never even left.
No. No, it's amazing. You're right. He sounds the same as he did when he was 60, same as he did when he was 40. And it's weird because, you know, and I asked him, I said, seriously, it must be so depressing for you to see what boxing has become. Because there was a time, as you remember, Jim, where boxers were the biggest athletes on the planet. And now I don't think you could find an American who could name a boxer. And he actually gave a very thoughtful answer to that. I was kind of surprised. He realizes the trouble his sport is in and the mismanagement it's had over the years.
Well, easy, Mike Wallace. You went right at it. Straight fire. Journalism in the morning.
Take it easy.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the way it was. When we all came up and he was in his glory and in his prime, you're right. It was all about boxing. And now it's hard to find that fight that matters. But the good thing about this fight, even if you don't know either one of these guys, it's a heavyweight fight. And the heavyweights have to come back. And it's in Vegas. And you've got an American in it. So that's a good start. It's not going to save the sport, but at least we can talk about the heavyweights. And
absolutely.
You need that.
And by the way, when Don King tells me to watch a fight, I watch a fight. So I'm definitely going to be tutored this weekend. All right, let's talk about what we all care about, which is another great weekend. Is it possible that the four best quarterbacks in the NFL are all in action this weekend? I mean, you could argue Andrew Luck, or Peyton Manning, but this is pretty good matchups this weekend, right, Jim?
Yeah, I think you can certainly make that argument. And I would say the best of the group is Aaron Rodgers, but he's got to go out there and play on one leg against the Legion of Boom. I mean, it's one thing to play lights out on a single stick against Dallas, but Seattle's a totally different animal. In fact, that's the last defense I'd want to see on one leg, or even two legs for that matter. So I think we may have the four best, but the best of the best is out there on one leg, and that could go pretty badly for him.
What are we hearing, if you know anything from your NFL insiders this late in the week? Is he improving at all? I'm sure he hasn't been practicing, but how's he getting? Is he feeling any better?
Yeah, you know, my concern about that is they say he's a little bit better, but until you get out there day of and you get loose and you see how it is, I mean, who really knows? I mean, you go back to last week, he had 2 weeks. He had a bye week to get ready for that game, and he didn't look right at all.
He still looked like an old man when he was out there. Great,
yeah,
but
you know,
an old man.
Look, to his credit, the guy, he made plays.
Agreed.
I mean, he played a hell of a game. But again, it's against a different animal. My thing is, if that's how he looked with 2 weeks off, how is he going to look with only 6 days off? I'm skeptical. They say it's a little bit better, but I'm really skeptical. He could be a sitting duck.
The Seahawks are also peaking at the right time, it seems like.
You know, they're playing better now than they were last year when they won it all, and there's so much to like about them. I talked to Michael Bennett on the show yesterday, and he had a huge game the first time they met, and I expect him to do it again because
your Russell Wilsons and your Richard Shermans and your guys, your Cam Chancellors, guys like that. A lot of people still don't even recognize Michael Bennett. I mean, he is kind of a secret weapon on the Seahawks. He was the MVP of the Super Bowl last year, for instance, but he's a guy a lot of people don't know and one of the most entertaining people in the NFL, too.
Dude, dropping knowledge.
Come on.
Michael Bennett bombs. It's so true. I mean, the guys who know, people in the game know. And I'm telling you, he was unstoppable the first time they met. But that's what makes Seattle so good. They've just got freaks and game changers all over the field on both sides of the ball. And when you go to their house, it's the most hostile environment there is. I love Green Bay. I think that Rodgers makes plays even on one leg, but not enough to win that game. I just want to see it.
I love to see Marshawn Lynch interviewed. That's all I know. I love it.
You like that?
I'm just thankful. I love it.
Have you ever tried to interview him?
Nope.
Like watching other people interview him, right?
Oh, watching other people. It's death.
Let's move over to the AFC. Obviously, the Patriots, it's so hilarious to see how great they are and how great Tom Brady is when you count the number of times that people have said he's old and busted and this team is not going anywhere, yet they do nothing but win. I can't imagine they're going to lose to the Colts, but anything's possible, right?
Yeah, you know what's even funnier? Ray Lewis saying that we only know him because of the Tuck rule. Did you call that whole thing?
No, I saw that. That's insane.
I didn't see that. That's insane.
Yeah, Ray Lewis, great, great player, but he actually went on a radio show and said, hey, look, the only reason we know Tom Brady is because of the Tuck rule. Ray, if you want to have a long career as an analyst, you need to stop saying things like that immediately. there are things that guys say that you may or may not agree with, that may or may not be debatable, and then there's just straight ignorance. This guy spit a lot of nonsense in his time, but nothing as absurd as that. The guy is a great quarterback, and that's not why we know him. That is a terrible take.
No, absolutely. Look, Andrew Luck played great against Denver. I mean, he's got to be feeling good, pretty good going into New England, but still, that's a very tough team to beat at home. How do you think this one's going to come out, Jim?
You know, the thing is, Andrew Luck, I mean, he's awesome. He lives up to all the hype, and when it's all said and done, this guy might actually be better than Peyton Manning, and there are a lot of Peyton Manning honks that think that's sacrilegious. He's that good. The thing is, Bill Belichick makes really, really good quarterbacks look really, really bad, and that's the best defense that New England's had in about a decade, so... I see Luck going there. I see him making some plays, but in the end, he's not going to beat them in their house. They're on a mission. The window's about to slam shut, and that's the best the Patriots have looked to me in a number of years. That's their last best look. They're going to win that game.
So you're guessing Seahawks Patriots
plays, but in the end, he's not going to beat them in their house. They're on a mission. The window's about to slam shut, and that's the best the Patriots have looked to me in a number of years. That's their last best look. They're going to win that game.
So you're guessing Seahawks Patriots.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm...
It has been a while since Ari Shaffir has joined us in studio, but look, there he is right over there, you guys.
I'm here.
You know, for a mostly stoned comedian, you seem to be working very hard these days. You've got a new stand-up special that premieres tomorrow night on Comedy Central at midnight. You've got a new TV show that is premiering next week. And you also seem to be still working. You seem
man.
Still be out doing, you know, the Comedy Store. It seems like every other night you're out there.
Those pothead stereotypes are old. Those don't apply anymore.
I guess
new marijuana
so.
That gives you energy.
That's how Seth Rogen is able to make so many movies.
Yeah, exactly. He churns them out. He can't stop smoking weed. He churns them out. He has to type with one hand because he can't let go of the joint. And he's overcoming.
So how have you been, man?
I've been great. Honestly, I was thinking about this the way down here. The last time I was on, you guys invited me to the
April Foolishness.
April Foolishness.
That's right, yes.
And that's the reason I got this special. The
really?
Head of Comedy Central, the developer,
no.
was there. Yeah, he saw me in front of 6,000 people, and he was like, you know what, man? You're really good.
How about that?
Yeah, that was the way he turned on me.
That is a wonderful story.
Yeah, I think you'd appreciate that.
No, that's very cool. Did you say, what's the catch? Or, I mean, were you a little...
At first, I was like, wait a minute, yeah, exactly.
Do I have to sleep with you, or what? How's this work?
Please, let me sleep with you.
Your comedy special is very funny, by the way. It's called Paid Regular. It debuts tomorrow night on Comedy Central. And I'm sure, as is The Want, it'll then be available a few days later, probably with even more footage available. People can buy
it, right? Yeah, it's available now. You can go to my website, R.A. Shaffir.
Oh, cool. Okay. I like... What's interesting about you, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but you know this, is you don't tell jokes. You're a comedian who doesn't tell jokes.
Yeah, man. I was thinking about that. That's pretty observant. Yeah, I don't know if I should hate myself for that or not. Yeah, I just kind of talk and then, like, people laugh.
Do people that meet you on the street ask you to tell a joke?
Yeah, once in a while.
Or dinner parties or whatever.
Yeah, but maybe I should say that. Like, dude, I don't do jokes.
I don't tell
That's
jokes.
That's not my thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. It would be like being, you know, the leader of a band who doesn't sing. I mean, it is just kind of odd that you don't tell jokes, but you just tell hilarious stories with lots of, you know, lots of jigs and jags. That's not even an expression.
Nope.
I don't know where that came from.
I don't either.
That came from your days in Waldorf, Maryland.
I have. But you do talk about your crazy life, and I don't know. It's weird. I wouldn't have thought of you as a UFC fan, for instance, until I saw this special. That was a real surprise to me.
Dude, you should have seen me and my friend Duncan went to the UFC, and Rogan got us, like, the really good seats, like, right behind him.
Right.
And so Duncan is kind of crazy, and he started making Illuminati signs behind. Like, every time the cameras were facing our direction, he would just stare at the monitors. He was like, now! And we'd hold up these triangles. And then after
Are
a while...
Are you sure people just didn't think you were Jay-Z fans?
Yeah, maybe. Is that his sign? Is the triangle his sign?
Well, he is. He's the head of the Illuminati now.
Oh,
come
that's
on, you know
right.
That.
That's right. Sorry, Jay-Z. I apologize to you, my overlord. But then we just decided to make out on camera.
Yes, that was the kiss heard around the world. I know about that.
It was so great. People are so mad.
Did you go because you actually like the fights or just because, hey, this is a cool free thing that Rogan can get us into?
No, I like the fights. Obviously, when you say free to a Jew, I mean, you're getting them, you know, worked up. So that's what got me into the first place. But then I like the fights. I used to train jiu-jitsu for a little bit. And then, but they're just fun. I don't know. They're fun.
You talked about being at a UFC fight. I can't remember who it was with, where you were on mushrooms. That was funny as hell.
Yeah.
Or acid, maybe.
Acid,
was it
that's
acid?
What it was.
It was
with
acid.
Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
That's on the special. I tell that story on the special.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to give too much away, but does that make the fights better?
So much better. Oh, my God. And you care about everything, dude. Everything.
What does that mean, you care about everything?
Like, the lights going down towards the octagon. You're like, wow! How do they do that? I saw some guy, I remember Forrest Griffin coming in, and he was playing some, like, upbeat, like, Boston. What's that Boston band? That rock Boston band?
House of Pain?
No, House of
Boston?
Pain. Dropkick Murphys.
Dropkick Murphys,
yeah.
Okay.
And they were playing that, and he was coming. Everybody's cheering. I'm like, this is the Coliseum. We're at the Coliseum. We're cheering for him to beat some lion. Yeah. And I was texting Rogan that. And he's like, dude, I'm working right now. I can't deal with your acid things.
I have my thing going on myself.
I know that Rogan is heavy, and we have him on all the time, is heavy into mind-expanding drugs. But have you ever been afraid of those, Ari? Because I would be. I'd be afraid of that one bad trip that would turn me, you know.
Wait, first of all, does this imply that you have not done that stuff?
I have not. I've done nothing.
Oh, what?
Dude, I've never even been drunk.
Oh, you're the guy that's never going to die?
Is that it? I'm the guy who's never going to die. That's me.
Okay, well, then I guess you shouldn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
But are you ever afraid of that?
Yeah, here's the deal. I'm afraid every single time.
Okay,
every
but
time
you
I take
go ahead and do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I admire that. I
like Life is here for us to take. You get on a horse.
I like a guy that goes, this could be the end, but let's go.
Yeah, every time, like, what am I doing? Oh, my God, this might be too much. What am I doing?
Every time we have a bunch of times we've had Dr. Drew on in the past, and I've said, Drew, I'm so sick of hearing people talk about how awesome acid is or how awesome mushrooms is or how awesome heroin is or whatever it is that's in the news right now. Oh, come on, let me try it one time. And he always says, no, if you try it one time, you could be a vegetable, or you could die one time with any of those things.
With any of those things.
That's what he says.
That's ridiculous.
That's what Drew says.
He doesn't say that with any of them, though. Like weed, he doesn't say that about.
But like acid, he says do it one time, you might be a vegetable.
Oh, if you the problem is if you have like instances of not sociopathy, what's it called? Split personality. What's that called? Schizophrenia.
Yeah.
If you have that in your family, then you should
be
careful.
Then don't do it.
And maybe just don't do it.
Have you had any side effects whatsoever from acid?
Yeah, a lot. Enlightenment. I am nicer to my friends. I give money to homeless people.
Here's what I noticed.
Yeah.
I noticed when you did Getting Dug with High that you brought a lot of drugs.
Yeah. The last time I brought mushrooms, he was like, what are you doing? I was what do I got now?
Why don't...
Man, I'm sorry.
How come that doesn't happen when...
Because we weren't supposed to get high on air. You know what? That's a huge mess up on my part.
It really is.
It's a huge mess up on my part. I fell from my pockets. Like, maybe by chance, I had a bunch of drugs in there.
I haven't seen the Getting Dug with High yet, although I'm looking forward to it because you're on at the same time as Carolla, right?
Yeah, Doug brought me in as a ringer. He's like, you're the only one who could get him to stop continuously talking.
How did Getting High affect him? Because I've never seen Adam High.
He barely got high.
Oh, really? Like it didn't have much effect on him?
No, he said he doesn't get high much, so it was like one hit is enough for him.
Gotcha.
But it wasn't like crazy. I don't know.
Meanwhile, you and Doug were pulling out stuff I've never heard of. And
like what?
I don't even remember. Like different strains, and then sativa and a bunch
Doug
of
Doug just loads up like 12 pipes. I'm like, I don't mind if I do.
Yeah.
That's what being like a Hussein is like. You have to smoke one hit out of each bowl and then like give it to the peasants.
Does Doug have to move the location around of Getting Dug with High so that you can't find him every week?
It's based on the winds because people complain. Like businesses next door complain.
All right, Ari Shaffir is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The stand-up special is very funny. It's called Paid Regular. It debuts at midnight tomorrow night. Do I have that right?
Yeah, here's a new deal. The new day is not starting at midnight anymore. The new day starts at 4 a.m.
The new day starts at 4 a.m.
So if a show is on at 2 in the morning now, it is considered the day before? It's no longer considered the
Just
new day?
Just the same day you punched out of work on.
Okay, so if it's Friday morning at 2 a.m., it's considered Thursday night.
If it's Friday morning. Yeah, exactly. That's Thursday night. Yeah.
All right. So Comedy Central
Tonight
was able to change
Thursday
the calendar.
Until 3. No, they haven't done it yet. We need to write our congressman. We need to all do our part. It's too confusing, everybody. Last call is until 1:30. Last call is the next day.
That's a good point.
I disagree.
That's a good
point. And the new TV show that we haven't even had a chance to talk about yet, but we will, is called This Is Not Happening, which sounds like the funniest show ever filmed in a strip club. More with our guest, Ari Shaffir, right after this on K-Rock. The very funny Ari Shaffir in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can follow him on Twitter at his name, arishaffir.com. You
That's
can also
S-H-A-F-F-I-R.
The second F is for...
The new special available on his website now is called Paid Regular. The rest of us plebs can see it on Comedy Central tomorrow night at midnight. This new show, This Is Not Happening. Sounds unusual. Sounds a little bit of a different comedy show that's
maybe
next week
on
CC.
It's my favorite show to watch in L.A. We've been doing it for a few years. It's just comics telling stories. We pick out a topic, psychedelics. You would have no story on that. Uh-huh. dude, you got to start doing something.
Do I?
It almost makes me angry.
Yeah, same with us. But we've sort of gotten used to it, although he has agreed that he will do Drunk History.
Really?
And it got renewed.
And you've, and you've never been drunk either?
I've never been drunk, and we had the drug. We had Derek in from Drunk History, and I kind of pitched, you know, pitched the topic I want to do, which is the great astronomer Clyde Tombaugh discovering the planet Pluto. And he said, "That's
no longer
the great, astronomer." Yeah,
he said that's a. He was 24, man. What did you do by the time you were 24? Anyway, he said that's a great, great topic for Drunk History, and if you will do it, we will do it. So they're going to try to schedule that for sometime in 2015. So I'll,
that's
I'll get
cool.
a chance.
And you've never done booze before.
My fear is that he's going to act drunk. He's going to take a few drinks and he's going to go, so let me tell you about Clyde's eye. That's my fear.
That's a valid fear. That's a valid fear.
I'm not
fear.
A good enough actor to pull that
but
off.
But as a guy who's never been drunk, I mean, come on.
Yeah, but you've seen drunk on TV.
I have, of course. Yeah,
yeah. Don't mimic it. Just let it happen.
He's seen drunk in me.
Oh, yeah.
I've worked on the radio with drunk. Yeah. Why is this not happening? Why is it your favorite show?
Because I do my story. I do everybody does a story. I do one up front, tell people what the show is, and then just watch these amazing stories. These comics telling these crazy things. Like John Huck, had, people you don't even hear know of, has a story about crapping his pants at Oktoberfest and like waking up from a blackout drunk in a 5-star hotel with no pants on and go, oh, no, I have to go into the lobby.
What happened?
He just pulled his pants over his junk and just walked out, and then passed out in an alley and had some like tourists say he was disgusting.
Why is it filmed in a strip club?
Because we did it in Montreal at a strip club for the festival, and the feeling you get from like walking up those steps and seeing the pictures of the strippers and being in such a degenerate environment, then you hear comics tell stories about drug use and sex and stuff, and you're like, whatever. Nobody gets offended.
But it's not open. There's no strippers, right?
No, there's no strippers.
Well, that's a fault.
That does seem like a fail, Ari.
No, I've done shows with strippers before, and it's always awful. Because everyone looks at the strippers, all the comics talk about them, and they're so boring. Strippers are so boring.
Well, they're not there to tell stories.
Remember that period of time where strippers and porn stars were like really big interviews for radio and podcasts, and then everybody realized like, oh, the thing you do is not talk.
This is not working.
Yeah.
We should do less of this.
Yeah, you're a visual medium.
Yeah. Can you enjoy a strip club, Ari, on a night off?
I hate strip clubs.
You just hate them. Okay.
They're just like this casual nudity that you got to pretend like what you're going to be pretending you're drunk.
You got to pretend
to be lecherous. As a, you're like, yeah, look at that.
And she has to pretend that she's into you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pretending.
It's a whole thing. I can see through it.
That's why you have
it's
to
just sad. It's just sad. Is that what you're thinking?
It's not sad. It's just weird. I'd rather just like be alone and be a degenerate.
Lisa, tell Ari about
your... I'd rather be behind a bush somewhere.
Tell Ari, Lisa, about your great Mexican strip club experience.
Lisa, you went to a Mexican strip club. Everybody's talking about it.
With Kevin and
Bean. It was in Tijuana.
Mexican strip club is not a Mexican strip club. Mexican strip club is a waiting room for a Mexican brothel.
Well, we didn't know that. Okay. And we had
well, then we left too early.
That wore pantyhose, which was really sexy. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
What, naked
and they
pantyhose?
Were... No.
I have to be honest. We picked the worst one.
They were just tired.
We picked the worst stripper and got her a lap dance.
She was about 45, first of all.
And... You know,
a couple
hard
of C-section scars.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
That was my first lap dance.
Well, you can tell it's a mom.
Because she's holding a kid. She's breastfeeding while doing the lap
cried.
Dance.
We all wept
after. We all sort of cried. It was a sad time.
It was really sad.
Wow.
And then she came up in front of Lisa, and she was just kind of half-heartedly kind of shaking at Lisa's face, and it was just like nobody
Lisa was looking at us.
Like, no bueno.
It was no bueno.
Did you get a boner, Lisa?
No. No one
has in that strip club for quite some time.
In that club, yes.
It was so sad, and I would so do that again.
Oh, that's
in a
fun.
Second. Because if it's that sad, then it becomes
then
awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Especially Lisa, who hadn't had a lap dance yet. That was her introduction.
Yay,
to
Tijuana.
Were you scared getting a lap dance?
Well, you don't know what you're going to walk out with. That's for sure.
That is true.
you don't need steam pants. Clean.
You're not positive what she's going to leave behind.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's new diseases that just localize in Tijuana.
Back in the old days, Ari, this show used to travel a lot more than it does now, and we did a show down in Tijuana. And wasn't that the same show? What did we buy for me that you made
me
take?
You tried...
Spanish Fly.
Nope. Yeah. Viagra.
Yeah.
You tried Viagra?
Because you can go into any
sexual context?
Yes. In a non-sexual because you can go into any store down there and buy Viagra. You don't need a prescription or anything.
Go. How much?
Yeah.
That's all.
Right.
Exactly. So we tried it, and I just walked around, again, no sexual context at all. And I just, if I remember correctly, guys, I just walked around with a tremendous headache.
Yeah.
Like, it really, like, really screwed up my blood circulation.
What an effing baby. He was like, oh, wow. My head hurts. You're like, come on.
Every old man is just stoked on this, and you're like, it hurts my head.
It was a really sad show, if I recall correctly. Nothing about that trip to Mexico was good radio.
Didn't
either,
we try to climb the border?
We tried to get back into the United States. Illegally, yeah.
Did you really?
That didn't work so well.
We tried to find the donkey show.
That would be fun.
We've made a lot of bad decisions.
Wait, you guys got to go to Tijuana again. No. That sounds like an amazing show.
You know, did that.
We did try to find the donkey show. Yep. That's right. We asked everyone in town. It's that mythical thing that
it's not real?
Well, we couldn't find it. That's not to say it hasn't ever existed.
We've talked to a lot of people who say that it exists. We were down there, and we were specifically asking people to see if we could find it. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but we couldn't find
it. Yeah, I was hoping I'd run into it. You actually asked and did research.
Right. And maybe that's the wrong way to go. I don't know.
I did see that the donkey painted like a zebra.
Yes.
I asked the guy why he's painted like a zebra, and he goes, I don't understand.
Like, so you can take a picture with a zebra.
Yeah,
that's insane. It seems like that would be bad for the donkey.
Ari, do you travel internationally much with your comedy?
Yeah, I went to China in June.
China?
How was that?
So much fun. Oh, wow. My God. It was so interesting. The freedoms they have and the freedoms they don't have.
Yeah.
I mean, you can drink a beer at 3 a.m. on the street. Okay. And nobody cares as long as you don't throw the – but if you throw the bottle at somebody, you're going to go to jail for 9 years.
For 9 years?
Yeah.
It's like, we'll never hear from you again.
Yeah, exactly. There was some comedian in Beijing who got caught purse snatching, and he's in jail for a couple of years. And people ask, like, how did they catch him? Because it's a black comic. You can't stand out in Beijing more than if you're a black comedian. Like, there's nine of them. They just lined them up in a
But you're
line.
Like 7 feet tall. You stand out.
Yeah, man. I towered over those people.
How do people know you in China? Like, how do you draw a crowd in China?
I didn't. It was all expats. It was pretty fun.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I worked out this material there. It's pretty cool. Like, nobody knew me. It was all just people who decided to, like, take a 2-year job in China.
Oh, that's
cool. Pretty cool.
Dude, it was really cool.
They didn't know anything about you. So
interesting to talk to them.
Did you have to pay to take that trip, or did you get...
They paid me a little bit.
They paid you to go.
But
wow.
Yeah, it paid. It was like a few. It was Shanghai, Beijing, and Hong Kong, and then cities outside there.
You're doing it right, man. You're doing it right.
I'm trying to see stuff, man. I talk to Rogan sometimes. I'm like, yeah, you should go to China. He's like, nah, why? I'm like, because no one will know you there. You're anonymous, and you get to see China.
Yeah,
go
seems,
places.
Seems like you shouldn't have to sell that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
It's the Orient. I did a podcast from the Great Wall of China. I just loaded up my equipment and just like, let's do it.
That sounds cool, but it could be boring.
It was just an intro.
Okay.
We're going to do the whole thing there.
Yeah. Well, I am.
You know what they have there? The kids, they just crap in the streets. That's like a normal thing. And so the shorts they wear are really loose with slits down the middle so they can just crouch and go.
Oh,
Ari. Did we need to?
If we'd have gotten out 30 seconds ago, this would have been a much more satisfying interview.
Well, I'm sorry, but
thanks for saving the
crops are
the
made
end.
Of gold. That help it? And it cures cancer.
Bill Gates just invested in a startup that has there's a machine that is for reals that is going to be used in countries like China or wherever that turns poop into water. They figured out a way to collect poop, process it, boil it, clean it, turn it into drinking water. That's how they're going to deal with countries like that that don't have much sanitation.
Yeah. You know how a new iPod comes out and you wait for the second generation to make sure the bug's fixed? I'm going to wait on that one maybe three or four.
Is it supposed to be brown? And the guy selling it at Best Buy is like, well, I think so. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, probably.
All right. Well, I am sad that we are out of time because Ari is a guy we can talk to for a long time. But we're unfortunately, look at the clock. Paid Regular, is the special that airs on Comedy Central tomorrow night. And This Is Not Happening is the new TV show that sounds awesome that is going to premiere next week, Thursday.
It's every Thursday for 8 weeks. Thank you guys for having me, and I appreciate it. And seriously, that really was one of the reasons I got that special. So thank you guys.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm so happy about that. You deserve it, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Lisa. It's the world famous K-Rock 5 minutes till 9.
Dr. Drew Pinsky is going to tell us why we're all going to die of measles or something, I think, coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on?
I want to give folks a heads up. Tomorrow night at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I return to the stage at the Improv on Melrose with Hollywood Babylon.
No.
Love to have you come out and join us at 10 p.m. tomorrow night. Go to improv.com or csmod.com for your tickets. We'll be talking Oscars.
Well, you know the old expression. Nope.
We'll be talking about Oscars and why the Academy doesn't like black people. We'll be covering that.
Good times.
Selma, nominated for Best Picture.
Not because of any of the actors in it, though, Ralph.
Nor the director.
Uh-huh.
Or the screenplay. but I guess they liked one of the songs that was in it. Everything else?
Well, John Legend's okay because he's married to a white girl.
That's true. Maybe they're just afraid of common. A lot of people saying the Academy had a chance to really step up here by making the director of Selma, who is an African-American woman, the first ever nominated for director. And if they thought Selma was one of the best pictures of the year, you think they certainly could have saw their way clear to do that, right?
But there are other options besides straight racism, right? Maybe they like the five directors that are in that category better. I don't know.
I guess.
I'm just saying it's possible. Let's not forget it's possible. But there are other reasons.
Look, I always think if you're nominating anything Best Picture and you don't nominate the director, it's literally madness.
Yeah. It's a director's medium, right? It's
that is that is.
But they can only nominate five directors.
Well, then they should have five pictures.
Okay. Yeah.
But the two should directly correlate. You should never have a Best Picture nomination without a Best Director nomination. It just that never makes any sense to me.
It very rarely happens, that's for sure.
I know, it's crazy. All right, let's talk about some of the nominations. As I mentioned, Best Picture, Selma, Theory of Everything, Whiplash, The Imitation Game, Grand Budapest Hotel, Boyhood, Birdman, American Sniper. All worthy films. Best Director, Alejandro Iñárritu for Birdman.
That is brilliantly directed, though, because of all of those real long shots and all that panning that goes on up and down the halls and stuff. That's pretty impressive.
Bit of a gimmick.
Oh, really?
I felt when
sort
I was
sort of kind
watching
of showing
it.
Off a little or what?
No, it's just like you do that if you want to make a real point. You know, you use technique to reflect content. It's like when Scorsese does it in Goodfellas, when they take you through the kitchen all the way into the table there at the Copacabana,
right?
And they show you that long tracking shot that follows the actors into that scene. That is a very compelling moment that takes you along with the characters through what they experience. I mean, it really stands out.
And it wasn't that way in Birdman.
If you use it over and over and over and over and over again,
but the whole movie is shot that way.
I think it's like, what are you trying to accomplish with it other than to show that you can do it, you know? It's kind of a cool trick.
All right.
So do you kind of feel the same way about Richard Linklater, also nominated for Best Director? There's a little bit of a gimmick in just shooting for a weekend every year for 12
years?
No,
because he did that for a legitimate reason for the content. He wanted to make a film about a boy growing up, and so he shot that film over 12 years with a boy who was growing up. I mean, you can't get any more directly correlated in doing a cinematic technique for the purpose of telling a particular kind of story.
But the story
I see your point.
Dictates the directing.
That's what it should do, yeah. You shouldn't do stuff with the camera and directing just because you can decide to kind of show, hey, isn't this cool? You know.
All right.
That's just my take. But ton of great performances. Some great moments in Birdman. I mean, it's a really well-done film. I'm just splitting hairs. Best Director, as we mentioned, Iñárritu, Richard Linklater for Boyhood, Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher, Wes Anderson for The Grand Budapest Hotel. I haven't seen this movie yet, but now I'm really, really desperate
it's
to see it.
It's phenomenal.
I've just heard
it's well,
good
you
things,
probably like other Wes Anderson movies. You'll like this one
I
just
do,
as much.
Yeah.
It's super unique to him. That's one thing you can't say about most people.
And Morton Tilden for The Imitation Game. Best Actor, run out of time here, so I'm just going to name names. You'll have to find out what movie they're in. Steve Carell, Bradley Cooper, Benedict Cumberbatch, Michael Keaton, and Eddie Redmayne. Best Actress, Marion Cotillard, Felicity Jones, Julianne Moore, Rosamund Pike, and Reese Witherspoon. In supporting categories, Robert Duvall for Best Supporting Actor, Ethan Hawke, Edward Norton, Mark Ruffalo, and J.K. Simmons. Best Supporting Actress, Patricia Arquette, Laura Dern, Keira Knightley, Emma Stone, and Meryl Streep.
That's a lot of real good actors right there.
It sure is. I think it's one of the frustrating things about Birdman for me was the performances were so excellent across the board.
Edward Norton was great.
Particularly great. Yeah. But so was Michael Keaton.
Yeah, I agree.
And so was Emma Stone. And, I mean, just everybody in the film I thought was terrific. And they raised some really big sort of important questions. I just didn't feel like they really had any sort of point of view or answer for them.
And just climax the
I kept,
end, like
I kept waiting. I kept waiting for them to tell me something about what these kind of questions that he posed about this man's life, and I never really got any satisfactory answers. I guess I was just a little disappointed. Today's celebrity birthdays, Regina King, 44 years old today. Rapper Pitbull. Dale! Mr. Worldwide! 34 years
Where's
old.
Where's his Oscar nomination?
Wendy,
for something.
Sir. Alexander Gustafson, 28 years old today. And Skrillex celebrates his 27th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thursday mornings about this time, we catch up with our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky from the HLN show, 6 p.m. weeknights. By the way, Dr. Drew, I heard you got a new set. I heard all sorts of talk about the new revamped Dr. Drew Pinsky show, and I tuned in last night.
Yes.
Did they not re-air you later? Do you not get a rerun later? You're just on at 6, and then you're not on again after that?
Correct. We're at 6 here in Los Angeles, 9 in the east.
Nothing but Forensic Files all night long on CNN Headline News.
Thing that keeps on giving.
That's what they do. I guess so. So I haven't had a chance to see the new set yet, but what do you do? Are your models topless now or anything?
No. But we have not yet gone into the studio with our audience. That's coming in March. All we've done is sort of change the colors and things. But what I did do is take on old Nancy Grace and her Two Chainz interview.
Oh, my God. That was the best thing I've ever seen.
Thank you for that. I kind of agree with Two Chainz, so it was cool.
Same. Nancy Grace is an idiot.
Well, Nancy Grace just had it in her mind that pot was bad and she wasn't going to listen to any evidence to the contrary.
Well, not just bad, but she was moralizing and she was sort of... Like her sensibilities were disturbed because she saw Two Chainz smoking a big fat doobie.
Right.
Yeah.
So?
And her whole argument was, look at this video of this parent giving his baby weed.
Right. As though I've never seen somebody hand somebody some alcohol that it shouldn't be.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It was so weird to see Two Chainz and Nancy Grace just sharing a screen at any time for any reason.
I'm just happy to see Dr. Drew finally coming around to the right opinion on Nancy Grace. That's all. All right, let's move on to the topic at hand. And Dr. Drew, you have told us many times in the past that you are furious at these moron parents who refuse to vaccinate their kids. Can I draw a direct line from those kids to what happened at Disneyland recently that has caused a measles outbreak in the Western United States?
Absolutely. Right, listen, our vaccine rates in some parts of Los Angeles are worse than in the southern Sudan.
What?
And people, unfortunately, live in a world that is so sanitized, and we do such a great job with infectious diseases, they've never seen an epidemic. And they're about to see a little one and get a taste of what's about to happen with epidemic endemic diseases that can kill people. It's awful.
Tell me about measles. I mean, obviously it's a name I've heard my whole life. I've never known anyone who's gotten it because we all got vaccinated for it. Is it a pretty serious disease?
And let me say, you know, some people, particularly people who work in healthcare and whatnot, may need to get revaccinated. You might want to talk to your doctor about getting your blood levels checked for the immunoglobulin to be sure that you have adequate immunity against it. And in fact, people born between 1963 and 1967 may need to get a revaccination. That vaccine period was not particularly effective. But that's for us adults, because measles in adults can be quite devastating. It's bad enough in childhood. It's high fever, cough, runny nose, sore throat, something called a Koplik spot in your mouth, and then this what's called morbilliform rash, which is this measly-looking, red, blotchy little spots all over your body. You break out in spots, quite literally.
Now, a lot of these diseases, though, that we talk about, Dr. Drew, it requires some pretty serious contact or switch, you know, or mixing of fluids or something like that. That's not the case with measles, right? I mean, these people were just on a ride with someone at Disneyland and picked it up. How?
These illnesses that everyone has been panicking about, that I've been trying to get you guys to calm down about, because you have to either have sex with somebody or swallow their blood. This is not so with measles. Measles is an airborne illness. If you come in even reasonable proximity with somebody with measles, 90% probability of transmission. It is incredibly contagious. Now, there are a few days before the fever and a few days after, maybe the rash evolves, or maybe all the way until the rash goes away. So people are contagious for a long period of time, and they are highly, highly contagious. It is a big deal. And I described fever and rash and whatnot, but it's common to get complications, including pneumonia, encephalitis. It can be a disaster.
Would you say
the end is near?
Maybe not this time, but soon.
By the way, in case you're wondering, those affected in the Disneyland outbreak were as young as 7 months old and as old as 57 years old. So this is for everybody. What should the policy be, Dr. Drew?
I'm not a policymaker. Right? You mean, should we force people to take vaccines?
Yeah. What should the policy be on allowing children in schools that haven't been vaccinated?
That's a great question. I always am very uncomfortable. People approach me to say, "What should the laws be?" I'm not.
What should I tell them?
But I think, you know, what is our obligation? In the years past, we just said, "Hey, we have an obligation to protect other people. It's our moral imperative." To each of us, make sure we're vaccinated so we don't affect other people. I mean, that seems to me a reasonable position to take. And if that we do, then there should be some sort of mandate out there. But, you know, people are please, everybody, study biology. Please, please.
Take it easy. We're not going to study biology.
But, yeah. But for God's sakes, people make sweeping judgments about things that are infinitely complex and they know zero about. And then once you have a tiny understanding of biology, read the science and then draw your own conclusion. And it's obvious.
All right. Just to be fair, just to play devil's advocate, let me ask you two more questions on this topic. Are there any side effects from vaccinations for measles that would make sense for a parent to not give their child that vaccination?
Every medical intervention, you know, taking an antibiotic can kill you. Taking Tylenol can kill you. There simply is not an interaction with the medical system that can't have some sort of untoward effect. But the risks of those effects are infinitely smaller than the potential benefits.
So my last question then would be, and I think your answer will be the same, is you don't think a parent has a right to draw his own conclusion about whether to vaccinate his own kid or not?
Well, if they want to go actually study it and, you know, talk to real experts and things and learn how to do that, then they do it. I'm not going to talk about people's rights. They have a right to – parents have a right to parent.
Jenny McCarthy used to be on The View, so she must know what she's talking about.
And I have no quarrels with Jenny. I worry what she's – you know, she's endangering her kid and other people if they don't do that. So listen, we just went through a whooping cough outbreak. Pertussis is out there. And it's so funny. People are so irrational as they approach these things. Believe me, if there were an Ebola vaccine, magically people would want that.
Right. You're right. You shouldn't go to Disneyland and get measles. That's what shouldn't
That's
be happening.
What I'm basically saying. Shouldn't
okay. All right. Dr. Drew on call with a fancy new set and an audience coming soon on HLN Monday through Thursday nights at 6. And, of course, good old Loveline with Mike Catherwood here on KROQ. And don't forget, drdrew.com and podcast1.com if you just can't get enough of the doctor in your life. Thanks for the time, sir. We enjoyed it.
Bye.
I'm just saying, stop it. Stop it. CW.
But you love the CW.
You're all about the CW.
I love
That's
the
your
CW.
Network.
Yeah, so they're stabbing me in the back.
Then you stand with your people. If they're going to put on the World Dog Awards, then you stand with the CW, man.
That's right.
You can't love them for Flash and then turn on them for the World Dog Awards.
I love them for Arrow. I love them for the 100. I love them for a lot of reasons.
Flash.
But the World Dog Awards is just BS.
Let's give awards to dogs.
I hope it's 3 hours long.
Me too.
I do. I really do.
I get the task of bringing in clips.
From the World Dog Awards.
That's happening.
The only award show where every winner is a dog.
Look. You mock it, Ralph, because you don't know that George Lopez is hosting. So it's going to be hilarious.
Dear Lord in heaven.
It's going to be super funny. Come on. All right. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on?
I hope the dogs are right for his kidney. Tear it out of him. His wife's kidney.
Over under on how long it takes them to make a who lets the dogs out joke.
The introduction?
Yeah. Like how far into the show?
I'd say
13 seconds?
Yeah, a minute tops.
Let's go to Vegas.
All right.
Because Caesars, it looks like, has a new resident. It was Britney Spears. Oh, no, she wasn't at Caesars, was she? She was at the Planet Hollywood?
I think so, yeah.
Someplace. Anyway, they had Celine Dion for a long time. A couple other places.
You know what I heard?
Dick Poop.
No, Dick is not going to be in residency at Caesars Palace.
Okay.
Mariah Carey.
Oh.
Is going to be sitting down in Vegas for a while.
Okay. Look, that she's not making the charts like she once was, but she has a tremendous
amazing
fan
voice.
Base.
Yeah, yes.
Amazing voice. Got a long, long history with lots of hit songs. A lot of people grew up on her music. I think she'll do all right in Las Vegas.
Here's my question. Still gambling?
There is still gambling available in Las Vegas, yes.
Still drinking?
There is still serving alcohol there in Las Vegas, I believe.
No Mariah Carey.
I think I'm with you.
It's my policy.
By the way, isn't Caesars like going bankrupt or something?
It is.
Yes. They may announce within the next few days.
Maybe they should do less hiring of Mariah Carey and more paying their bills.
Right?
Keith Richards says to Justin Bieber, "Who the F are you?"
Love it.
Told a friend he was not impressed with Bieber. They ran into each other apparently at Turks and Caicos over the new year. Ever been there? Lisa, you're a tropical person.
I've
never been there.
I think Kat has.
They got scuba diving there and stuff, don't they?
They do.
I hear good stuff about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've heard it's very very luxurious. Apparently, there was a bar, and Keith Richards, legendary guitarist for the Rolling Stones, was at the bar, surprise, surprise, and he was knocking him back. And in walks Justin Bieber.
And apparently Keith turned to him and said, "Who the F are you?" And then Bieber, according to witnesses, responded, "I don't know. Who the F are you?"
Yeah!
Nuh-uh, you are. No, you.
Wait, this was Justin Bieber approaching him to say hi?
Yes.
And so then his comeback was, "I don't know, who are you?"
Right.
Okay.
Then Justin tried to, in the words of one source, bro down with him. But Richards was unimpressed and at one point said, "Let's get one thing straight. You're a wannabe."
Ouch. That.
Listen.
I'm a little bit surprised that Keith Richards knew who Justin Bieber was, to be honest.
He didn't. He asked. He said, "Who are the F are you?"
Well, when he said, "You're a wannabe," though, I thought
Well, he
maybe...
was told. He was informed after.
Oh, he was informed. Okay.
Yeah, later in the conversation, who he was and what was going on. Look, if you're a member of the Rolling Stones, everybody else is wannabes,
yeah,
pretty much.
That's true.
You have been a rock star longer than most people have been alive, so
yeah.
I guess you get to lord it over people a little bit. But it just makes me happy that he slapped down the beeps.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
You got to imagine Justin Bieber expects to be recognized everywhere he goes in the world, right?
Yes, and catered
to. And worshipped,
to,
yeah.
More importantly, but not by Keith Richards. This morning, the Oscar nominations were announced. Maybe you were up this morning to watch. If so, you were probably impressed most by the Best Cinematography category.
Oh.
As the president of the Academy made her announcement.
For achievement in cinematography, the nominees are Dick Pope for Mr. Turner.
Dick Poop smeared himself all over Mr. Turner, I thought, with his work there. Dick Pope. And Dick Pope is like, by the way, like 70.
Oh, so he won't find that funny?
I just don't know how many more shots he has,
yeah,
of having his name announced for nominations to the Oscars.
I think you're right that a perfect stranger ruined the best moment of his life.
Yes, because she can't read Pope. And by the way, the other names on the list were like Sergei Mavlodyblevsky, Richard Spaglaglinskenstein, and she got all those right. And then Dick Pope.
But that can't
get pooped on.
That can't be the first time that that name has been said incorrectly. Just because...
It's not a difficult word, P-O-P-E. Most people are familiar with the name and word Pope.
Yeah.
Dick Poop.
Yeah. I don't know why that would ever be mispronounced.
Who's
ever
mispronouncing P-O-P-E?
It's a one-syllable common word.
Even you, Kevin, would get that name right.
Part of the time.
You'd call him Mr. Beautiful, but you would say he's Dick Pope. Not Dick Poop.
Dick Poop. Dick Pope.
So Dick Poop has already become the Adele Dazeem of this year's Oscars, and we're just about a couple hours into the process.
That was beautiful. Thank you for doing that and giving us that.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
President of the Academy. How does she feel?
Awesome.
You think she feels awesome? Do you, Kevin? As a man who's been there, do you think she feels awesome
right,
today?
But I've...
Or do you think she's hanging her head saying, this is no way to live a life?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Yeah.
Kevin, how did you feel after Jake Gyllenhaal?
Like an ass.
Okay, well, yeah, that's probably like how she's feeling after Dick Poop.
But I'm also used to screwing up and having people make fun of me. I'm guessing she's not.
Probably not. Jake Gyllenhaal, by the way, who gave a career best performance in Nightcrawler, not nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, he was so good in that.
Jennifer Aniston also had a lot of pre-Oscar buzz for her performance, in Cake, not nominated. Angelina Jolie's film Unbroken. About Louis
Zamperi. That was totally snubbed, right?
Totally snubbed. Nothing for her. Nothing for the film.
How about for Beer Mug's interview on the red carpet with the man the movie is based on?
That has been nominated.
Has it?
Has
I hope
been nominated
so.
For the Dick Poop Award for the lifetime achievement of being the biggest poop. Might go to Beer Mug for his interview with Louis Zamperi on the... or Zamprini, whatever his name was.
Can you pull that up for us, Muggs? I'd like
I
to
can't
hear that,
stall any longer. Really? How long does it take to find it?
It's in the middle of a file, so he has to sort of go through it.
Well, that's a good time.
I don't know.
Here it is. Got it.
All right. Remind people who this is, Ralph, before
right,
we play
this
it.
This was a legendary World War II veteran, one of the last remaining alive World War II veterans, I believe, named Louis Zamperini. And he was an Olympic athlete. He was held in a POW camp and tortured by the Japanese. He's a legendary
character. Lost at sea for like 2 months or something like that. Had to stay alive for that before his capture.
He just recently passed away. Angelina Jolie made a film about his life called Unbroken. And our own Beer Mug was on the red carpet of the Captain America film where they invited him to be a guest because it was World War II. And Beer Mug
had this in-depth interview with him on the red carpet.
Mr. Louis Zamperini, a veteran of World War II. How you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing great for my age.
Yeah, you look fantastic. I was surprised to hear that an actual World War II vet was at the Captain America world premiere. And let me ask you, besides, yes. You know, mm-hmm. getting a victorious win over the Axis powers, how was it like fighting with Captain America himself?
What was the question about?
Did you meet Steve Rogers himself?
I don't
Captain America?
No, I don't think so, no. Oh.
That's all right. So, Mr. Zamperini, tell me what it was like.
This guy wishes he died in secret. Right about now.
Being imprisoned during World War II.
To get 3 rice balls a day. And that's it. And they're subject to beatings almost on a daily basis.
That is amazing.
3 rice balls a day, yep, and daily beatings.
Daily beatings.
That is amazing.
But in by amazing, I didn't mean that was like, oh, no. Great. I meant, wow, I can't believe you survived.
Yeah,
You meant amazing when the way some people use it to describe depressing?
No.
Or horrific?
Incredible.
You meant all those other meanings for the word amazing?
No, it was incredible how he survived.
You didn't listen to his answer for 1 second.
I couldn't hear him.
Yeah. That is amazing.
That's amazing.
I also love that he tried to do the, did you meet the fake Captain America comedy with a 95-year-old.
Hey, oldest man on the planet. Let me try to throw you with by asking if you met a fictional character from a comic book to see how you respond.
Like, how did you feel? Did you think there was any possibility that that would track with this old guy?
No, and
you think he said, no, but I worked with Iron Man a couple times. Hey, boom, boom. Hey, I'll be here all week.
No.
Think he's going to start riffing with you and do a little comedy?
I have nothing but respect for World War II veterans.
Sure.
And this is one that I just wish I never did.
Give my mic back. You're not allowed to take it.
Well, I'm sad to see that. I mean, Unbroken got some nominations in some of the lesser categories, but none of the majors.
Nothing big.
Definitely shut out. So.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Regina King is 44 years old today. Rapper Pitbull, Dolly, Mr. Worldwide, 34 years old today. Alexander Gustafsson from the UFC is 28. And DJ Skrillex celebrates his 27th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, Simon Helberg will be here from Big Bang Theory talking about We'll Never Have Paris. Michelle Trachtenberg will be on the program tomorrow. Emily Morse will be on the program tomorrow. She's a sexual health expert talking about the Sexual Health Expo.
Okay.
We would call her a sexpert.
And I'd call it a sexpo.
Okay.
everything.
The movie beat highlights, if you can call them that, of the World Dog Awards. Ugh. And RJ Bell tells us about football this weekend. That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.